welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, woo! Get it on. Gotta get it on. Phone number 866-901-ADAM.
Great show. A lot of fun.
We'll take your phone calls at 866-901-ADAM. Dave Damashek.
Yeah,
Good to see you.
I think it's a thrill that you decided to join us this morning, Ace. Ace is out there 10 seconds before the show talking about his fairy tale football team and his mother back in Beaver Creek.
Whatever. Wow, that's solid. No, I was actually telling Big Tad to find something I saw on Entertainment Tonight. I can't remember if it was Extra Entertainment Tonight on Friday.
They're each so unique in their own right. It's weird you would confuse them.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges. I don't know how come they didn't. They just both go down as the same show. But they asked, you know, one of our new favorite things on these shows is when they talk to stars about other stars that the other stars clearly have no interest in. And I think are quasi-insulted by it, because if someone came up to me and said, wow, what do you think of what's going on with George Clooney? I would be flattered. But if they went up to George Clooney and said, what do you think? Wow, how's this impacting you? Carolla and his eating disorder.
Who?
George Clooney should be like, yeah, I've heard of that guy, but why are you asking me about him? You should be asking him about me. Somebody asked Courtney Cox about Nicole Richie. And her eating problems.
She got pissed.
Well, if you're Courtney Cox, you got to be thinking to yourself: A, I'm hot.
Right.
B, I've been in one of the biggest sitcoms ever. C, I've done a lot of major movies, and you must resent the fact that Anna Nicole Richie or whoever the starlet du jour is, who hasn't done anything, keeps getting top billing. You know, I mean, and when I say top billing, I just mean at the top of the hour, we have to dedicate, a few segments to Nicole Richie.
Anna Nicole Richie is my favorite amalgam.
I've now created a super untalented.
a beast that's never, ever done anything.
Right. So you must be a little PO'd that she's at the top and then somewhere, if at all. I mean, if you think about, Courtney Cox. Courtney Cox used to be all over those shows all the time, and now she pops up once a week, every other week. But it's a lot of Nicole Richie talk, and then somewhere at the end of the show, if you show up at all, you attended some function, with your husband, David Arquette. That's right. You'd be dancing in the song. So when someone shoves the mic in your face and wants to know what some chick who's 15 years your junior is doing, who, again, has no body of work, at a certain point, you don't give an answer that sounds like you care. So there's a, they can never say anything bad, but you can kind of read between the lines when they give the, fine, I guess.
Yeah, God bless her.
God bless her.
Whether it's an insult or not because they're a lower star, I just like them asking random people questions about things that they would have no business answering. Hey, Brad Pitt. How do you feel about the death of basketball legend Red Auerbach?
Yeah, and not only that, but they're not asking him a question. It's like you asking about puppies being backed over each year in America. Like, where do you come down on that? I think the jury's still out on it. I mean, yes, when somebody dies or somebody gets divorced or somebody goes into rehab and someone puts a mic in front of your face, you really only have one answer. It's not a choice between A, I wish them the best, B, they had it coming, C, finally my pox pays off. There's nothing you can do but go, hey, we wish them all the best. And then it's even more uncomfortable when it's a real tragedy. It's not just Anna Nicole going into Anna Nicole.
Anna Nicole Richie.
It's not, well, speaking of Anna Nicole Richie. Then it's Anna Nicole's kid dies, and now you really can't put your foot in your mouth. I'm just saying, I have a good one if we can find it. I think it was Friday I saw it on one of those shows. Had to be, because Thursday we were drunk at the Playboy Mansion doing our show. Speaking of, speaking of drunk, but he sobered up. Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
He has found Jesus Christ, and him and Jesus Christ are going to find his way into this studio later on today. An animated guy should be a spirited, well, I don't want to call it a debate, but he's not scared to share his opinions.
And you're an atheist.
And I'm an atheist, so we can talk about that. I don't mind religious people. I only mind, I have no problem with religious people other than when it starts affecting policy. You can be as religious as you want, but stay out of the way of the stem cell research, and you can be as religious as you want. But if a guy wants to die, and he wants to die with dignity because he's going to die in another 10 minutes, let him throw the switch on the suicide machine. I'm not worried about that. There's certain things, again, it's like anything, whatever your religion is, whatever you're doing, do whatever you want, just stay out of everyone else's grill, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, separation of church and state.
Thank you.
I rebuke this in the name of the Lord.
Thank you. We'll do a little best 80s song of all time. The list came out today on VH1 online poll. I am prepared to be devastated
You're
by what the idiots have decided is the best 80s song. I will put together possibly my own list. And we got to continue the Teresa bitch bag debate.
Oh, do we have to?
Well, last week you said that your therapist said you didn't.
No.
You didn't belong on the bitch bag.
Well, therapists can't tell you anything. They can't. You know, they ask you questions and you come to your own conclusions. And I hadn't actually made the decision until I was sitting here. And I don't know, something came over me and I thought.
Well, we can talk about it.
Do we really have to talk about it? Can't I just go away quietly?
Well, it's on the schedule.
We'll take it off. We'll do the 80s music instead.
Wait. Teresa emailed me twice. Two emails. Twice. Long emails.
I said, please, I have a better idea. Let's
please,
do 80s
no
music.
No bitch bag debate, please.
It's another bitch bag called something else. Let's move on. We don't need that.
Well, we won't consume 4 hours of the show with it. No, 3.5.
Please.
Yes. Also, I believe we got to do our sports and spin our wheel as well with our gambling,
yes.
Right,
yes.
Roscoe?
And I'm glad you mentioned
schedule.
That.
That'll be in the early sports.
Nobody misses me during that. Same as during the bitch bag. Nobody will miss me when I'm not.
Well, we'll talk. People have been voting online. It's
fantastic.
Not been looking good, Teresa.
That's great.
There's also an opinion that if, in fact, you don't participate in the bitch bag, you'll have to do something else.
Fine. Did I not jump into the pool at the Playboy Mansion? I'm a good sport.
Well, you did. All right. Well, this can be discussed in the 8 o'clock hour. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll do a little wrap up and wrap down about the Playboy Mansion for those of you who didn't hear the show on Friday or who heard the show but don't know exactly what was going on. It got a little out of control at a certain point. Also, I hear we have a reenactment for the next break.
Yeah, we got a good one.
Okay. We'll do one of our reenactments, talk a little Playboy Mansion after this. 901 Adams, the phone number. We got one of our reenactments to do. Haven't done one in a while. Torn from the headlines. Also, we're going to talk a little Playboy Mansion. I don't know who's first. What's first? What do you guys want to do? Talk a little Playboy Mansion?
It's up to you, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to say about the Playboy Mansion, so maybe we should do our reenactment. All not right. That nothing went down over there.
I think that is fertile soil.
All right, well, let's
Playboy
talk
Mansion.
About it.
But let's wait. We got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about your ape of a friend, Ray, stripping to the nude,
he
throwing himself
naked.
Into the water, and then grabbing Teresa Strasser and bringing him into the water. Sort of like King Kong when he grabbed Jane.
Yeah. People did get very loaded by the end of the evening, and people did get naked, and people did start throwing themselves around a little bit. And, you know, my buddy Ray, when he gets naked, he doesn't get naked and hide behind a fern and then slide in through the shadows into the water. He was naked standing up on the table we were broadcasting from.
Mm-hmm.
He gets naked for all to see. I guess, you know, when you look good naked, you might as well get naked.
Well, we had, speaking of getting naked, this is the good side of that coin, is Kim, who came in last week with her brother. He got drunk on the air to get tickets to the Playboy Mansion. She just was his driver, but she was such a vision.
Yes.
That then we had to involve her, and then she ended up, in order to get tickets, she made out with Fat Tad.
Right.
The ultimate price.
Right.
And so she got in. Then she won our costume contest.
Yeah.
And then we introduced her to Hef, and we said, Hef, how about you put her on the pages of Playboy? She's a vision. And he did not say no. He said, the first order business is a photo shoot. And from what I gather, Kim is on her way in here. Ace, how about you take those photos today and we'll...
And do what with them?
We'll send them.
Oh,
well,
I
you
see.
Can do your
I'll
we'll
take
get
the pictures.
We'll
I
get
see.
Doubles. You can take home for your personal use.
Yeah.
And the second set off to Playboy. Because if she winds up in the pages of Playboy, that would be something.
It'd be
good.
A nice feather in our underpants. And, yeah, Hef said... Hef explained to her that there was a protocol, and then he undid his robe and he leaned back in his chair.
Well, Hef seemed a little bit ambivalent, frankly, about the whole thing.
Well, I think Hef probably gets a lot of that thrown his way, so Hef just throws it another direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he has
send
people
the pictures.
That do it.
Yeah.
He's probably got burned a few times or yelled at a few times by rushing someone to the front of the line and had some editor say something to him, or his daughter. I think he was pretty much in charge of the Playboy empire.
Well, you know why he plays it kind of cool like that and standoffish, Ace?
Because he's out of it?
That's
he has no idea
reason
what's happening.
Number one, but reason number two is because it's a business. Don't kid yourself.
Do not kid yourself, people. I could tell you wasn't, but I'd be lying to you. You know, Hef did seem, and we spoke to Hef on Thursday, and I've spoken to him on a number of occasions, very lucid.
Mm-hmm. You thought so?
He's 80. Well, he's 80. He had a stroke a couple of years back, and I've spoken to him in times past, maybe a little closer to the stroke or when he was recovering or whatever, where he was not as lucid. Now, again, you're speaking to an 80-year-old man. You're not talking to Andy Dick, but he seemed pretty with it. He tracked well. Wasn't a lot of, what are you talking about, or any of that kind of stuff. He hung in. He even gave me the double handshake when I was shaking his hand, telling him thanks after his break. He then reached in and gave me the Soul Brother shake.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think he likes you. He likes you and Jimmy.
In the year 2027, he'll be doing the fifth bump thing.
He's still hanging. Well, he was doing the Soul Shake with Jimmy Kahn back in 76.
I am sure of it. Let's talk to Robert quickly. Robert?
How's it going, Adam?
What's happening, Robert?
I just want to talk about, I don't know if you heard about the Likas tirade against Jimmy Kimmel at the Playboy Mansion.
Is that right?
I heard something about it. Yeah. What was it?
Well, he was just saying how Jimmy Kimmel was in every segment, but as soon as Likas came on, he wouldn't want to have anything to do with him, be, you know, anywhere near him in the same photograph with him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Likas felt snubbed by Kimmel is what
really?
He said.
Yeah, Kimmel came in and Kimmel hung in and he got there early and he basically sat in the whole show. But at a certain point, and I guess it's right before Likas came in, he got up with Anthony Anderson, who I always want to call Anthony Edwards.
Right.
Because Edward is a first name and Anderson isn't. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards was Goose.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd.
He got up with Anthony Anderson, and they just took a stroll around the yard. God knows what they were doing. Likas maybe took it as a snub. Here's the whole thing, and I think this happens a lot. I just kicked the phone. Jimmy knows Likas from back in the day because Likas, I guess, was on in Arizona where Jimmy used to live and where Jimmy got started. Jimmy likes Likas, and Jimmy has no problem with Likas. It just was one of those things, and Likas got too defensive about it and took it as a snub. Because I know Jimmy well, and Jimmy has no feelings about Likas, good or bad.
He doesn't hate him or anything.
He doesn't hate Likas. He doesn't.
No. Doesn't think about Likas.
No, he doesn't think about Likas. This is the thing.
That's even a bigger snub, though.
Yeah, I suppose. But I mean, it's not like Likas and Jimmy go way back. It's not like they would have any reason to hang out.
Right.
I mean, I've spoken to Jimmy about Likas before, just in passing. He has no relationship with Likas. I think Jimmy wanted to take a break. He knew Likas could talk. Anthony Anderson is a friend of Jimmy's. They wanted to go off and have a cocktail. And it is true, I got to say that after doing tons of radio, and especially when you're in a place that's kind of intriguing, you know, for everyone else, you're at the Playboy Mansion. For me, I'm at a microphone doing a radio show. Watching everybody, the Playboy Mansion, at a certain point, you do want to just get up and walk around a little bit and take 20 minutes off and then come back after you've got yourself booze. So I don't think Jimmy thinks about Likas, which is kind of the ultimate slap in the face, perhaps, especially if Likas went off on Jimmy. But I was sitting next to him. He didn't say anything like, is he gone, or is I'm not coming back till he leaves, or is he coming back, or is he... There's none of that.
I asked Jimmy about it. Was he upset? Oh, you know, why did he leave? And he said, because you guys were about to do, like, Carolla was joining Likas to do a Likas 101 segment. And so, of course, Kimmel would be unnecessary.
He was stepping aside, perhaps, because he knew that Likas could carry that segment.
Well, Likas was saying that he thinks Jimmy Kimmel has something objectionable about his content.
No, I don't think he cares. Does he, Adam?
Well, that's what his insinuation was. I'm not sure.
No. No, you mean he doesn't like his language? Or
yeah, maybe he doesn't like the way he treats women, or I don't know.
No, that's me. No. I don't care.
Every woman in America, but that's not Jimmy Kimmel.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you're aware of that.
Yeah, it did. It came up, I think it came up yesterday over at Kimmel's, or somebody said something about it, but
Yes, just, Jimmy defused it. If I'm not mistaken, I think he even called in to Likas to answer these charges on Likas' show on Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, Adam, take me out Kobe style.
All right. I don't know how to do that to Likas thing. Yeah, I would say it's, nothing personal. Evidently.
No, so that was one story. As a matter of fact, I made a list of my highlights.
Oh,
yes, I was stuck behind. Yeah, like you guys, I was up on that thing all day, which was all night, which was awesome. Because, by the way, let me just say this. It was arguably the greatest collection of foxes these two eyes have ever seen. And they were new. And as far as I could tell, running completely free, unchecked.
The foxes were.
Yes. Doing as they pleased, and apparently what they pleased was making sweet love to men in the grotto, and from what I hear, in the bathrooms, people were finding them. It was, yes, it was Sodom and Gomorrah, but I was up on the thing. I completely missed it.
Mm-hmm.
A little highlight, little ass-kissy, but it was cool doing the Ziggy Socky with the Man Show dudes up on the thing after you watch it all those years. That was a fun thing, but a far cry from having sex in the grotto.
Mm.
Now, other things, Bruska, our producer, was smart enough to bring his wife, his 8-month pregnant wife, to the Playboy Mansion.
I gotta eat!
And apparently she came, I'm not sure about this, we should really get her on the phone, Bruska, because apparently she wanted to be there because she wanted to keep an eye on her old man and make sure he didn't get up or anything. And let me ask you this. Are those girls really going to go after that?
Well,
that's what she's worried about, that she's going to lose.
He was dressed like Snorky. He was dressed like Snorky from the Banana Splits. It was number one.
Yeah, but that's love.
That's love.
In your eyes,
think
that all the women are going to be chasing down your man. That's love.
Yeah,
I call it irrational jealousy. But I call it irrational jealousy, too. But it was, she was trying to keep a little bit of eye on me. But also, she wanted to go. She's never been.
Yeah.
And I will have to say, though, I did have the best costume in the staff. I was Damashek's baby. I had a very huge nose. I had a Pittsburgh Steeler hat, and I was dressed as a baby.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was nice.
Darling.
It was very nice. Yeah. Well, it is true. We've talked about that quite a bit, where the women who are with a guy just assume they speak for all women when they're attracted to that guy. And thus, if you go to a place where there's foxes. But, Brusket, look, there's nothing wrong with Brusket, but that night, I don't know that he could have picked up a corpse in that outfit. I mean.
Yeah, on top of the fact that once the show started, he was running anxiously around. And
schwitzing.
He had flop sweat going 10 minutes into the show.
We had technical problems, and he was in a fleece onesie.
Yes. He was sweating because he sweat on the board, I think, and shorted it out for a while there.
Saw his salty brine shorted out the board.
So we should talk to her. We should really talk to his wife, because she also brought her OBGYN with her in case she went into labor, and he got loaded and apparently said some inappropriate things to her.
About her gynecological situation?
In general.
He was hitting on her.
What?
Yes. No. He was hitting on her, and my wife does have a couple other stories.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll speak to Antoinette at some point. Also... Yeah, lots of, you can see, actually, as the booze starts flowing, as people get further in the bag and the clothes start coming off and the wild behavior. Big Tad, I don't know if Big Tad was in a blackout mode or not, but he was pretty much nude and screaming at a certain point. And, there's acting for the radio, and then there's drunken screaming. He was drunk and out of control. Even Def Rec guy at a certain point when
yeah,
he felt
turned.
When he felt his cell phone may have gone into the swimming pool, started to freak out a little bit. Big Tab, what were you doing? I know you got really wasted at one point.
Yes.
We should say that he was dressed in a Playboy Bunny outfit, and he's 330 pounds.
And I look damn good,
at
too.
At a certain point, it all came off, though, and then you started screaming, and I'm not sure what it was, but it was sincere, because I know you're a bad actor.
What?
You lost your beanie cap, right?
Well, I lost my beanie, and I was ticked off about that, because, A, I got thrown in the pool by Ray, Ray and his buddy, and my cell phone was in my pocket at the time, so I lost my cell phone.
Oh, and then Lindsay got tossed. Assistant Lindsay got pushed in the pool as well.
Yeah, Lindsay got thrown in while I was throwing Brusca into the pool.
Right. Surprised someone wasn't hurt falling on something in that pool. There was like a platform in the middle of it, a steel platform that had a nice sharp edge on it.
Hey, I might have been drunk, but I was sure making sure that everybody was safe. I made sure Brusca didn't get hurt.
Well, everybody or most everybody seemed to go into the pool themselves. But also, you know, Tad, it strikes me as a guy who's been drunk as much as you've been drunk, and you've been drunk a lot over the last 12 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you used to it by now?
I was having a good time. I literally, that last part of the show, I was having a really good time, and I wasn't angry at Brusca. I was having fun, and I wanted to throw him into the pool.
All right.
I mean, it might have sounded like I was angry, but no,
Well, not angry, but that you'd lost. Here's what I'm talking about. I've been drunk a lot. I know when I'm drunk. Do you know what I mean? Like, the part that's interesting to me about anything that you do over and over again is how you do it over and over again. The guy gets loaded. He's got a couple of 502s. He gets pulled over, and he's coming at the cops, waving his arms, yelling, big man, take that badge off, you know. If you didn't have that badge, like, who's now going to get maced and taken down to the ground? At a certain point, when does that guy realize, I'm loaded? I was loaded last weekend. The weekend before that, I was being maced and dragged into the drunk tank. At a certain point, doesn't a certain part of your brain kick in and go, wait a minute, I'm drunk. Perhaps I shouldn't get out of the car and charge at the officer. Perhaps I shouldn't raise my hand to my girlfriend. Perhaps I shouldn't order that large extra thick crust pizza at 3 a.m. Like, at a certain point, isn't there a part of your brain that jumps in and says, yes, you're loaded, you must stop doing this? Not you, Tad.
No. Okay. I go full throttle.
Well, how drunk were you, Tad, about 45 minutes or an hour later? We got into the big stretch limo that they dispatched for us. And Tad almost, and I mean within a hair of getting into a fist fight with Angie, the drunken producer's drunken brother. There was apparently in the back of the limo, there was a joint being passed around. And I guess this guy's brother, Angie's drunken brother, didn't approve it. He approves of booze, but not of the weed.
What?
And so when it landed in his hands, he rolled down the window threw it out.
Oh.
And Dawson, the sound guy, he likes his weed. Yes, it's the equivalent of,
So it's like throwing a tennis ball off a 50-story building and having a lapdog go off there.
What are you doing, dude?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So Tad and Dawson are going crazy.
That's dude-on-dude crime as far as Dawson goes. actually, that's dude-on-bro crime.
That's right, and he did not like at all being spoken to like that. Why it didn't occur to him that, you're the little brother of a producer on the show. You really, it's not your place to be yelling at Dawson and Tad, who actually work for the show, who probably have rank on you here.
I am absolutely amazed at people oftentimes, so many times when they get kissed into something, like the guy who was on the bubble at the bachelor party, but it's all right, he's a friend of a friend and we vouch for him, who ends up taking over the bachelor party and scaring the strippers away, or the person that barely made the invite list to your housewarming party, that's the guy who's drunk and putting the cigarette out in the baby's crib and stuff. And it's like, the people, Angie's brother, lowest man on the totem pole in that limousine, barely made the cut, should have just been glad to be there, throws a doobie out of the window.
Yes, and...
And supposedly, it was some really good stuff, too.
And so now...
Supposedly.
Well played,
he should have been thrown out of the limo,
yeah,
that jackass.
Well, we did. So he now, he's incensed that Tad is speaking to him. Dude, you better shut your mouth right now. That's the other guy. I was trying to do my... I was sort of Tad's voice. I guess it was the same voice, really.
Right.
Dude, don't you touch me. Don't you talk to me. And Tad saying back, like, you're real lucky, dude, that we like Angie so much because I'll kick your ass. And he was like, let's step out of the limo right here. We'll settle this right on the street. Back and forth.
He must have been loaded.
And now the third man, Dawson.
Because they have that alcoholic gene.
Family. I think that's the real concern. But Dawson now is trying to play peacekeeper. Dude. You don't want to do this. Just take it easy, dude. It's like he's the
dude
hippie
triangle.
The hippie peacemaker putting his hands. Get your hands off me, dude. Dude, come on, chill out, man. We had a good night, dude. Suck down some brews and hang out a little bit.
He threw the joint out of the window.
Yes, Tad really was the voice of reason in this.
He needed one of those, prison-style sock beatings. You know, where he put soap.
A code red, like in A Few Good Men.
Everyone should just thrown him in the back of that limo and just beat the crap out of him.
As you mentioned, Ace, I mean, the real concern is that obviously we already know about Angie's problem with the booze. Apparently, it's genetic. Now her brother has a problem, too. I really think we should speak to their mother and figure out what happened.
Well, if we could sober her up, we could get her on the phone, yeah.
Yeah. What are the hours at rehab?
He must have been loaded. He had to have been loaded
to
do that.
He was, but he was sort of that quiet drunk, like, dude, do not even touch me right now. And then it escalated from there.
Does he have a problem with marijuana? Does he have a problem?
He seemed like he must have had some moral issue with it because it came into his hand. His buddy gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And down the window went and out the joint.
Oh, so it wasn't like, hey, man, there was nothing left. It was burning my fingers.
No. This was, I don't approve of it
what
on some
jackass.
Level.
If he thought it was his buddy's joint, maybe. But
it wasn't a case of somebody's bogarting.
He didn't think it was his buddy's joint, huh? No.
Unclear.
Well, then he's a world-class J.O.
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
We'll get to that. Oh, we didn't even mention, and maybe we can get into this later, but I don't know if Tad remembers, but he pulled me aside for a tete-a-tete. A one-on-one to give me some important advice. Just before this fight happened with Angie's brother, I was sequestered by Tad, and he told me, Teresa, listen to me. And then he did one of these things, like look in my eyes, with his fingers. He's like, you don't want to be out of the bitch bag. Things are going to get very, very bad for you.
Now kiss me.
I really feel like there needs to be a booze school. Like people need to go through training to figure out how to act when they get loaded so they don't throw anyone's doobies out of the window of their limousines. So nobody pulls you aside with that we need to talk or that dude we need to talk or that dude I know you've always hated me talk, but man, I'm here to clear the air. I feel like I've been in the middle of so much. You hear about all the stuff where the guy, beats the crap out of his old lady or drives the car through the mini mall, but there's the other, even more ugly side of booze, the one that affects us every day. I mean, look, God forbid someone we know is killed by a drunk driver, but statistically, way down on the list, I'll tell you what's much higher, having intern Jerron tell me we need to talk and we need to talk seriously when we're loaded on the bus. All the saleswoman over in San Diego telling me she's going to get Will Ferrell on the show 133 times. All the conversation. I mean, on one hand, you could be crippled by a drunk driver or you could just have 15 years of your 80-year life used up by the ramblings of drunken people who are going nowhere and then an uncomfortable, too close proximity, spitting on you, oftentimes pulling you away from some place you would much rather be. Come here. I'm talking to these girls. Dude, 1 minute, I need to talk to you.
Off the hizzle.
Yes, I feel like these people need to be penalized, just like you get penalized for a 502, You get a DUI when you're drunk driving, or you get arrested, or you get intoxicated in public, or whatever it is, drunk and disorderly. I feel like they should be fined.
Drink responsibly.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah, maybe you could start. You could start a list and do on an ongoing basis. You give another
millionaire
another lesson
10 times over.
But let me say this: I think regarding the Playboy stuff, we should over the course of the show we should get to Brusca's wife and the creepy doctor who was apparently hitting on her, who will soon be looking at her hoo ha delivering a baby.
With
this
his
is
child
the man
coming out of it.
Hitting on it. Yes, I think Kim with her photo shoot for Playboy. We got to do that.
Yes.
Maybe we could talk to Angie's mother or brother about what is the problem with the booze in the family. I think also, another thing we got to talk about is Lindsay, the assistant. Mm-hmm. I think she scored.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
She looked fantastic.
I think she picked up a fella.
She dressed as strawberry shortcake, and she had these, I guess call them those leggings. I mean, there's nothing sexier, you guys can chime in, than the leggings that come up about mid-thigh.
Thigh highs.
And then just end there, and there's a little patch of flesh, and then the skirt begins.
No better.
That is a great.
Number one best.
Number one. Get a big thumbs up from all the guys in the room. All right. Well, we have a reenactment, but now we're out of time.
Let's do it after the break.
All right. We'll do it after a break. We'll take a quick break. We'll do one of our favorite or famous reenactments after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM.
The Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with Program Director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Jack Mansell, a little hungover from our Playboy Mansion party. We'll be taking pictures of our 21-year-old hottie who wants to pose in Playboy. Hey, Jack's gonna need a little time along with the proofs, peeps. Also, actor Stephen Baldwin, prisoner David. And we'll recap our huge blotto in the grotto Playboy Mansion party. Jack Van went as a bucket of pickles, and all the ladies wanted a bite. Jerome, the intern, tells me I went home with a dude. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get to our reenactment. Teresa, you have the story?
Yes, I reported on this story last week. A man was having sex with his four-year-old. His four-year-old dog was a female pit bull terrier.
Let me tell you something that's very sad about what you just said.
Yes.
More people we know would be more upset over the dog than the actual four-year-old.
That is disturbing.
Yes, it is. It's a great town we live in, isn't it?
I know. Well, it's disturbing on both counts. The man was having sex with his four-year-old pit bull, and there was squealing and crying, which caught the attention of his wife.
Hey, I express myself sexually, Annie. I mean, continue.
His wife heard the squealing and crying, and she went out and saw that her husband was having sex with their dog. So she did a smart thing. She took pictures of the act with her cell phone, and these are going to be used in court. Now, what happened was she called the cops. She showed the cops the pictures of the man having sex with the dog. He was charged with bestiality, which is a felony in Washington State where this happened. He was hauled off to jail. The dog was taken by animal control.
So our reenactment today.
So the wife is out then.
Wife's out.
She took the pictures.
Right. You will, Dave, you will be the man in jail for having sex with your dog.
I always wind up in the man in jail.
That's true.
You will make a phone call to who?
I get to the father then, since the mother, since the wife is out of the picture.
Right.
She took the picture, so you'll be my father, and you need to get me out of the joint.
Okay, you're calling Pops now to see if he can bail you out of the joint.
Let it begin.
I have to let it ring 3 times so I don't seem desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could be in the shower. Well, we'll never know, will we? One more time. Hello?
Dad.
Duke.
Hey.
Great to speak to you, Duke.
Yeah.
You know, every time I speak to you, of course, Duke, I think about my old lab. Big blonde lab, Duke. You love that dog. I mean, love that dog as a child.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course, that gave way, of course, a beautiful lab. You made me a dog lover.
Thank you
made me love dogs.
I've said it. I've said it to anyone who'll listen. Nobody loves dogs like my son Duke. And, you know, I feel that possibly my membership in PETA and my love for everything with four legs, maybe that's what turned you into the dog lover you are today. But anyway, son, what are you calling for?
Well,
you want to go to the ball game?
That
sounds good. Maybe maybe next week, or let's see how things go. But, you know, like we were talking about dogs, you know, we got the pit bull, you know, my beloved Hoagie.
Yeah.
You know, Hoagie's a little, she's a little rapscallion.
Scamp, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what you doing?
They're just sitting around. I'm just looking through my PETA calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got, maybe got some free time coming up here? A couple, maybe an hour, 2 hours?
What's going on? You want to go for a walk down on the across the pier or something?
I'm in jail.
Jail?
Yeah.
Oh. What happened?
Well,
out fighting? Out fighting the good fight? What'd you do, chain yourself to a bulldozer? Or throw some red paint at some European broad that was wearing a fur coat?
No.
Meets murder, you know, son.
Nothing like that.
Nothing like that? What'd you do? Don't tell me you and some of your wild-eyed friends stormed another one of those labs where they experiment on animals to make cosmetics. What'd you do, burn it to the ground? I say serves them right.
Yeah, no, I mean, animals, you know, played a part.
Yeah, they play a big part in all our lives. What are you, on that ship, the Rainbow Warrior, crashing into some Japanese whaler? What? Tell me, son. Tell me the details before I bail you out.
Well, you know, Angela and I have been going through some tough times. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she's
frigid like your mother.
Yeah, she doesn't doesn't exactly put out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but anyway, you know, Hoagie.
What'd you do? You go try to get yourself a hooker? A lady? Unless a man's a man. And if his woman is not satisfying his needs, then he'll find it somewhere else. And if it's in the arms of another woman, well, then so be it.
Or pause. But, I mean, listen.
We can all pause to think about that, but I'll tell you, even the good, and as you know, I'm a religious man. I'm a deeply, deeply religious man, and I raised you the same way. But if a man cannot find comfort with his own woman, then he must stray.
Thank you. I knew you'd understand, Dad. Mm-hmm. Angela's always sweating me, and, oh, I got a headache, and I, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Hoagie, on the other hand, never says anything like that.
No.
She's always delighted to
Man's
see me.
Man's best friend. Best friend.
Well, you know, Hoagie, I've said this about her before. Hoagie's my best friend. Mm-hmm. She's my confidant.
Mm-hmm. So you took her with you when you visited this house of ill repute?
Oh, I took her. But we didn't leave the house. She's now my best friend, my confidant, and now my lover.
I love Hoagie, too. I think Hoagie's a great dog, I loved Duke before that.
I mean, in the biblical sense, she's my lover now.
Son, I'm confused now. Love her like a father loves his son.
Angela won't put her arms around me. Hoagie, on the other hand, jumping all over. Mm. She sat in my lap, maybe this time a little too long.
Mm.
I unbuckled my pants. And then I just thought, hey, let's feel.
Son, she performed with her mouth on you?
No, apparently pit bulls aren't into that.
Mm.
I tried, believe me, I tried. Mm. So,
touched the dog in a way that was not appropriate?
Well, you know the phrase, I'm sure. I don't like talking about intimate sexual things with my father, but you are familiar with doggy style?
Son, hold on, I need to vomit into my trombone.
That's right. In case you're not familiar with that term, I took her from behind.
Love to your dog?
Oh boy, did I. Twice.
You know, son, when I was banging the bejesus out of Duke many years ago. Oh, yes, you don't know everything there is to know about your pops. There was a time when he was quite a canine Casanova himself.
This is wonderful bonding.
I loved him and I left him. I must have banged every stray from here to Tacoma.
You gave that dog a bone.
I certainly did, son. You know, son, I know this was tough for you to speak about, but I feel like we never did see eye to eye. We never had the same sports team. You loved cars. I loved reading. You're a Democrat. I'm a Republican. But finally, we found some common ground.
Yes, I hear you barking, old man.
Mm.
I love it. Hey, Dad?
Yes, son?
You want to have a fetch? I mean, a catch?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Wow, it took a twist there.
Wow. Then it became gay bestiality rape.
Yeah. It just took a turn. Took a turn. Turned out the old man was into it, too.
This is about the most interesting reenactment I have ever been a part of in my life.
Huell Hauser loved it, too.
Huell. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T, what's coming up in the news?
David Letterman and Bill O'Reilly went toe-to-toe, and I will play that for you.
All right. Also, Stephen Baldwin, who's never at a loss for words, is coming in here as well. He is born again. Actually, he may be so religious he's born for a third time because he makes the born-agains look like agnostics. He'll come in here. We'll also... something I want to get to. We'll do our NFL recap where we spin the wheel. $10,000 possibly up for grabs this week. All that, much, much more on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 44, from The Sixth Sense.
I see dead people.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed. Teresa.
Yes.
Oh, we got it. Teresa Strasser.
Yes.
You ready to do your news?
I sure am.
There she is.
David Letterman and Bill O'Reilly did not get along the last time Bill went on Dave's show. Well, Bill was back on Friday night, and they went at it over the war in Iraq.
But why didn't we stay in Afghanistan? It seemed to me that Afghanistan was more directly the source. I mean, there's been no tie proven between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, you know, the Taliban, anything.
Ansar al-Islam is, do you know what that is? You don't. All right, and I'm not just saying this in a condescending way. I'm really not, okay? I'm not going to call you a bonehead or a pinhead.
Okay, well, you could argue that was a bit condescending.
Yeah, good. Letterman's been a jerk to half the people who've been on his show over the last 20 years.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's a little, you know, I'll give you a Letterman-y thing. Letterman-y, when he interviews you, if you talk about your TV show, he'll tell you right out loud, I've not seen it. He'll always say that.
Oh, that seems rather rude. If you're a guest on his show, you should watch your show.
Be nice.
Well, yeah. here Letterman...
And his staff is scared to death of him.
Oh, really?
If you ever do Letterman... Here's how you can tell. Look, here's how you can tell about the leader of a TV show or the leader of a country. When you go to visit a country, if the leader's benevolent, the staff, everyone who works for him is not scared to death. They don't give you a bunch of stuff like, do not look His Eminence in the eye, look down, do not try to touch him, don't whatever. If you do Letterman, His staff is scared of him. There's a lot of don't do this, don't do that, be very careful about this. There's a lot of Dave doesn't like it when fill in the blank. Yes.
Well, if you're a fan of Dave's, then you'll like this clip because he takes it to O'Reilly.
It isn't we're a bad country, Bush is an evil liar.
I didn't say he was an evil liar.
Good.
You're putting words in my mouth, just the way you put artificial facts in your head.
All right.
I don't dislike Letterman. I don't think he's, I think he's a funny guy and everything. I'm just saying, if you go do a show, his staff's a little freaked out by him.
A little scared of him. Is there really rules like you can't look him in the eye? And
there's a lot of Dave doesn't like it when, and don't do this. Yes.
Interesting.
But a great guy.
But
great
guy. Dave's Dave. Dave's
as
Dave.
Opposed to here, where it's a lot of like, we don't like it when Dave does, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Totally different Dave, yes.
Well, in music news, Jay-Z dropped what's called a street track. That is a song that will not be on his new album, which he's releasing in 2 weeks. This is a song called Lost Ones, and it seems, from the lyrics, it seems that he may be saying that he and Beyonce are through. Ooh. Here is Lost Ones, and you can hear for yourself.
I don't think it's meant to be. For she loves her work more than she does me. And honestly, at 23, I would probably love my work more than I did she. So we ain't we, it's me and her. Cause what she prefers over me is work. And that's where we defer. So I have to give her free time, even if it hurts. So free, mommy, it's deserved. You've been put on this earth to be all you can be.
There it is. Jay-Z, perhaps breaking up through song.
Well, I think we all have a reason we were put on this earth. And for me, it was to make people laugh. Sorry. I was sitting around with a bunch of white guys over Kimmel's house yesterday, and I finally had the guts to say, I don't know any Jay-Z songs, and every time I turn on the news, Jay-Z's dropping something, or he's thinking about purchasing another island chain, or he wants to buy an expansion team, and we all just sort of looked around as, 30-something-year-old educated, semi-educated white guys, and everyone looked at each other and finally had to break down. We don't know how Jay-Z has so much money, who's buying his clothes, does anyone have a Jay-Z...
A whole lot of honkies in here.
I don't have a Jay-Z sweat jacket that they're wearing.
I think I know the one song where the models are going down the runway. Something about changing your shirt.
I'm sure he has his big toe in the pool of many, and he's getting a little taste of other records, and he's producing and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't know. Once in a while, I hear about Jay-Z's coming out with his own fragrance. He's got his own jewelry line. He wants to come out with his own automobile. He wants to buy his own expansion team. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, I just nod my head. Oh, yeah, no, rap mogul. But I realize I have no idea exactly how he makes all his money.
I know that one song, and I know he goes to a lot of Laker games. And otherwise, I think that's all I know of him.
The white guys, I say, maybe. How about this? Once in a while, I feel like these guys they're actors created. There's like 10 white Jewish guys that are behind this guy that have created this actor. His name is Herman Wormfeld. They've created Jay-Z, and he'll be the front man for the buying the teams and the colognes. They're all using the money and putting it underneath them, but they know if it's a whole bunch of just guys with big schnozzes from Wall Street, no one's going to buy into their rap. They're using Jay-Z as a front man. He doesn't really exist.
So it's more Jew-Z.
Jew-Z.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
The man behind the man. Well,
the men, yes.
A survey has come out about how long men spend ogling women. Over a lifetime, they calculated that the average man spends a full 6 months looking at women. They base this figure, let's just say, for 45 years of ogling in your life. Maybe you have more, maybe less, but on average, 45 years you spend looking at women. And let's say you ogle 2 a day at 2 minutes per woman.
Oh, like this
six
stuff
months
is,
a year.
Like they
six
can calculate this.
Well, 6 months of an entire lifetime straight, that would seem a lot.
Yeah, but here's the deal. I walk and ogle. Ogle and make cell phone conversations. I drive and ogle. That's why it's not 6 months straight of doing it, because you're always doing something else. You're not standing, idle in your living room and there's a cavalcade of women walking past you. You're shopping. You're walking to the theater. You're going to the restaurant. You're eating your dinner and looking three tables over. So you're always doing something and ogling.
Yes, I was surprised, too, that the survey found that what men ogle most, it goes breasts, butts, and then legs. Face, not even in the top three.
Who said that? Staring at Teresa's box.
Oh, my goodness.
What?
Yeah. A lot of guys like to think outside of it. I like to think inside of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Who's talking?
I'm shocked, and Box, I'm sure, made the top five. Finally, at the box office this weekend, Saw 3, number one, with 34
box
million.
Office.
I'm sorry. I know, I was
getting a little work done in the box office.
I was hoping that went by unnoticed.
Yeah, to tally the weekend's receipts.
At the cinema, Saw 3, number one, with over 34 million.
Gee, when's the box office open? I want to get there early.
I think there's a matinee. Round 11. The Departed was number two. It's holding on. Prestige, number three. And rounding out the top five is Clint Eastwood's Flags of Our Fathers and Ashton Kutcher's animated Open Season.
Hey, let me ask you quickly. Bobcat brought it up on the show, and I sort of knew what he was talking about when he was talking about that Flushed Away movie, which
yes,
seems to have not come out yet. But the more commercials I see for the flushed away computer animated whatever cartoon, the more I do agree with Bobcat. There seems to be a talking piece of fecal matter. I'm not sure what it is, but it sure as hell ain't a porcupine, and it's not a level, you know, it's not a squirrel. It's not what they norm a polar bear. Normally, when they have animals or things in these movies that are animated, there's something that you can recognize, or they're just a monster. This, in the movie Flushed Away, appears to be a piece of fecal matter that is going down the toilet that then becomes animated. Or if not, it's something... I mean, like, if you flushed a Tootsie Roll into a toilet, it would seem like it was a piece of fecal matter. Whatever it is that the joke?
This cannot be. It's a DreamWorks animated film. There cannot be an animated poop in a movie. I can't. Not
I
a cartoon.
I say it's high time.
Well,
let's try to figure out what that thing
it opens
is.
November 3rd, so I'll have that for you when
Thank
it opens.
You.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Quickly, NFL Steelers played the Raiders. I think that's all we need to say about that.
Well.
Tough weekend also for USC. Third-ranked SC went up to Corvallis and lost to Oregon State. That's right. The Beavers ripped the Trojans, proving once again that condoms are not 100% effective. Speaking of unplanned pregnancies, my wife Cindy is knocked up. Now, that was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, was it ever? I was number one in that box office.
You told me it happened right off the bat.
That's right. I impregnated her with extreme prejudice. Either way.
I wouldn't call it a bat, by the way.
Wiffle ball bat?
It's more one of those little cue batons, the things the martial arts guys keep on their keychains.
All right. Now that she is knocked up, I have noticed that a fringe benefit of watching so much football every weekend is that this is the best place to find boy names for our unborn child, if it happens to be a boy. Saturday, I watched my alma mater, Indiana University, beat the Michigan State Spartans. They have a guy on their team also. We've already talked about Jehu Culkrick, which is a fantastic name. They also have a guy on their team, Sir Darian Adams. How about Sir Darian Damashek? All I can say to that is ooh la la. Hey, little known fact from last Friday night, the St. Louis Cardinals beat the Detroit Tigers to win the World Series. Did anybody watch this World Series?
No, as a matter of fact, Fox and let the numbers out or whatever, and it was very lowly rated.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I really don't know anybody.
Those
the only
big
thing,
markets.
All anybody talked about was pine tar on the gambler Kenny Rogers.
I wasn't even sure the day they'd won it.
Yeah.
But thank God it took 162 games to get to something that no one really cares about.
I do feel I am reluctant to admit, Ace, in this case, this was not the greatest baseball season ever. Either way, Cards win it in five. Former Angels shortstop David Eckstein is your MVP. It's a great baseball town in St. Louis. They're very excited. They're planning to bronze Cardinal manager Tony La Russa's mullet. Have you seen that thing? It's ridiculous.
La Russa has
a
mullet.
It measures top to bottom longer than David Eckstein does head to toe.
Wow.
It's gigantic. It's 2006, Tony La Russa. Please, lose that thing. A lot of people expected the Tigers to win, though. But to the delight of at least one major celebrity, the Cardinals prevailed. We heard from him last week. Las Vegas legend and Tiger attack victim, Siegfried's best pal, Roy Horn. Here he is. He has some strange ideas on how the Cardinals should celebrate their victory. Take a listen.
It is my most sincere wish that the Cardinals do to the Tigers what I did to Montecor, a dish best served cold. As I had a cold vichyssoise with the main ingredient of Montecor's penis.
Oh, no.
Wait, he didn't put him down.
He put him down.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, quickly, Patrick is saying in the movie Flushed Away, the thing that's talking is not a turd.
What is it?
It's a slug, like a garden slug.
There you go.
Right. I'm just saying there's a certain math. Like I said, if you took a Snickers bar and you threw it into a toilet and then you went coming around the corner and looked at it quickly, you'd say, that's a turd floating in the toilet, not a Snickers bar. I mean, there's a math that you do, a lot of toilets, a lot of flushing, and then something that is long with no arms, no legs, no appendages, and smooth just looks like a Duke. Are they, do you think they're trying to get away with that?
No, when you talked about it last week, when you brought up with Bobcat Goldthwait, I went and looked up, and I was like, they couldn't put a turd in there. I think they would get more than a PG. So as I looked more about it, it's supposed to be a slug, and that's the only reason why I really know, because I was just like, there's no way they could put a turd in a movie.
You're that nerd.
So listen, hey, Patrick.
Yeah.
You smoke a lot of weed?
No, I don't. I got a cold.
Okay. Okay. See, I love when I get that kind of explanation, though, where you go, yeah, but why would they put something that looked like a slug in a toilet? I mean, which put a slug in a toilet, which looks like a turd, and then the answer is, oh, no, I went and looked it up. It's a slug. Yeah, but why? What's a slug? What's a garden slug have to do with the toilet? Well, I guess we'll watch it and find out. Isaiah?
Yes.
You got a story from the Playboy Mansion?
Oh, yes, sir.
You were there?
Yeah, I won tickets, and on the way back, I was sitting behind Ray, your buddy Ray.
On the way back?
In the shuttle.
In the shuttle,
because
you take a shuttle up there.
Yeah, right. And next to me was the woman that you said had the cubic zirconia of breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Well, her and I were chatting it up for a little bit, and she and Ray were going back and forth chatting. And she asked Ray, so, Ray, you dated Teresa? And he's like, oh, no, she just wants me that bad. She fantasizes about me all the time. And, she just wants me that bad. What? I started laughing hysterically. I was like, really, Ray? That's what it was?
Ray, is that true? Ray?
Hey.
Ray, what's going on?
I'm cutting concrete. How you doing?
Yeah, Ray, talking a little smack about me on the bus,
is
are
that
you?
True, Ray?
No, this guy's a liar. I asked the girl if she could name any of the Beatles, and she couldn't. Is this the kid with the beard? Yeah. And listen to him.
Hey, Ray.
He's out of it now.
Ray told me that he brought a couple ladies home to his place.
That's true. I saved their lives. Would have been death on the highway.
What happened, Ray?
Well, these two gals, one would throw up in her hair. I think her name's Andrea.
That's hot.
By the way, that is a good party. Throw up in the hair.
Throw up in the hair, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything, and her drunk Asian friend named Nancy, who was a little older and couldn't stand on her own.
Mm.
Now they were going to hit the road.
Recap from Thursday night's Playboy Mansion party. So this is at the end of the party. You took the shuttle down. You got out of the shuttle in the parking lot. The shuttle left the Playboy Mansion, and what?
And Chris and I were walking toward our car, witnessed these two having at it, going to get in the car and drive home to Orange County.
Yeah, so that's a long haul from where the shuttle parking lot is, somewhere down on Wilshire. I think it's like the Beverly Hilton or the Beverly Wilshire, somewhere right in there.
It's right in Century City.
Right, from there, well, it's not exactly Century City, but it's on Wilshire right there, right? Mm. Anyway, from there to Orange County is a long haul when you're toasted that way. So, Ray,
it was impossible for them to
What
drive.
Did you
they
do?
They couldn't even negotiate the parking lot.
What'd you do?
So, Chris and I were talking to him, where are you going? Orange County, no, you're not. So, I got behind the wheel of their car. Chris followed me to my house.
Mm-hmm.
And we put him to bed.
You put him?
I put him to bed in my front room, laid out a comforter for the girl throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
Whole thing. Went and got her, a saucepan to throw up in.
Did she continue throwing up?
Well, I didn't find out till the next morning when I looked at my comforter. Yeah, she continued to throw up. But she missed the saucepan.
Well, the good news is you have two rooms.
I have more than that.
Yeah, there's a front room, and there's a back room, and then there's a hall that connects it. So it's like 2.5 rooms.
And then my office and a bathroom and a kitchen.
Right.
Those are all the same, by the way.
Right. They all have that sex chair in them, by the way, Teresa, the wicker sex chair.
Well, I'm madly in love with Ray.
Well,
or so he says.
It's understandable, but anyway.
Yes.
So.
I don't care for that, Ray.
Yeah.
I never said that.
You liar.
No, I didn't say it. I'll take a lie detector, too. I don't mind.
Okay,
I've never said that.
So you put these two girls to sleep in your living room.
Chris and I put the two girls to bed, cover them up, blankets, whole nine yards. Chris and I go out for coffee. come back. It's about 1:30. They're both snoring. I go to bed. 5:30 in the morning, I feel a touch on my hand. I look up. These two look at me and go, "Where are we?"
This is why girls can't go out and get hammered this way, because they can just wake up in some guy's dungeon somewhere.
This is
with
Ray.
Vomit in their hair.
This is Ray being a nice guy. But earlier in the night, of course, something, Ace, that you've seen.
Can I finish the story, Dave?
All right, please do, Ray.
So anyway, I back up their car out of my driveway, head them to the 405. They were both humiliated.
What time? 5:30 in the morning?
5:30 in the morning. They wouldn't look at me. They said thank you with their heads down, and that was that.
The long, there's nothing worse than that super hungover, super disoriented drive back from wherever you crashed out the night before. All right, so you did a good deed. Damashek, you were saying?
Well, I was going to say, something you've seen, I'm sure, countless times in your life growing up with Ray is Ray taking off his clothes and being nude for no good reason. However, this was Teresa's first opportunity to see Ray in the bunk.
No good reason. We were at the Playboy Mansion. What do you mean, no good reason?
Touche, touche.
We were at the Grotto. What
I agree. When you're right, you're right. Teresa, however, what did you think of Ray's nude form?
Well, it was unexpected, and no one's at their best in that environment. But he does have a nice physique. He's obviously in good and very strong, because he picked me up.
Yeah,
and ferried me over to the pool.
I got a nice shot of the back ball when Ray stood up.
I did too.
On the table in front of us, and then bent over, and then threw his arms up to the crowd. And now, keep in mind, it's not like there were, it's not like the party had broken up an hour and a half earlier and there's a few stragglers left behind, or like it was dimly lit, there was only being illuminated by the pool light and a little half moon. It was lit up, and there were still 100 people there when Ray got naked. And Ray didn't do the thing where he pulled his undershorts off at the last second, threw them to somewhere, and yelled, "Woo!" and jumped into the pool. Ray got naked, and then he just stood up on the table in front of everybody for a few minutes, and then made his way out to the pool, and then came back again to stand up on the table in front of everybody.
Well,
you guys have been friends Dave. You guys have been friends since high school or before.
Yes.
You've probably seen this dozens of times.
I wish it was dozens of times. It's hundreds of thousands of times. I mean, Ray is a little bit older now. He's had some therapy, and he's mellowed out a little bit. I've seen him get naked. Ray used to go to parties and just pull that sock over his junk and walk right through the center of the party. Ray put his penis in his mom's best friend Kathy's ear when she was talking on the phone. She was talking on the phone at his mom's apartment. This is not drunken on a Saturday night. This is on Friday at noon.
There's a pathology that runs deep. Mm-hmm. It's not just exhibitionism when you're putting your penis in your mom's friend's ear.
Yeah,
something's wrong.
Keep in mind, one ear had a phone connected to it. The other had Ray's penis.
I hope it had caller ID. At least she'd know what was in her ear.
Ray, tell me if I'm lying about you putting your bare penis in the ear of one of your mom's best friends when you were 18.
Yeah, but the lead-up story,
All right. The boy's like, everyone's got those friends that are like, "Oh, man, this guy, these cops were driving by, and he was like, I smell bacon." And I think one of the cops may have heard him, but he didn't slow down. Like, there's those kinds of stories where, like, hey, he threw a water balloon at a tourist. Who of your friends put his penis, not his underpants, not his groin, his bare penis, because he was naked, into the ear of one of his mother's friends?
Dave, you were saying.
Dave.
Wow. wasn't a woman's ear.
Oh, Brasco. No.
I realize all the ear talk has gotten your motor started.
I got to get off to the bathroom for a few minutes.
Ray is extremely, extremely charming and yet pathological with the exhibitionism, I would argue.
Yep. All right, T. We'll take ourselves a break. Stephen Baldwin is in here. He's starting his own ministry. He's doing a TV show, sort of a documentary about it. He's going to bring his cameras in, and we'll talk to Stephen Baldwin after this.
Number two, step forward.
Give me the f***ing keys, you f***ing sucker.
Knock it off. Get back.
And now actor Stephen Baldwin on The Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Stephen.
Hey.
Stephen Baldwin, you know, as a movie actor, and soon I guess you'll know as an evangelist. Stephen, you were always religious. Did you become born again? When did this all start up for you?
About 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I decided to give this whole thing a whirl. Really, truly not thinking it was going to make much of a difference, but boy, was I wrong.
Now, what do you mean this whole thing a whirl?
Believing that the Messiah was who he said he was when he walked this lovely earth.
And did you grow up in that kind of environment?
I did the Roman Catholic catechism thing till I was about 11 or 12, and then it didn't really stick,
mm-hmm.
which is really the case for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then my life went on, and it's all in my book, which is pretty wild. But then 13 years ago, this really freaky thing happened. My wife and I hired this cleaning woman
mm-hmm.
from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Came to work for us and told us that the reason she took the job was that before she accepted the job back in Brazil, she went to her church and prayed with her pastor and prayed with this group of people.
Right.
And somebody on that day in that church felt they had received what's called a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same reaction.
Back in Brazil.
Back in Brazil.
Right.
Somebody comes to this lady and says, you're supposed to go work for these people because they're going to become born-again Christians, and then they're going to go and have their own ministry. 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the chick comes to my house and says, you know, you think I'm here to be your cleaning woman, but this is why I'm really here.
And that didn't freak you out?
It didn't freak me out. It made me laugh.
Right.
It was adorable.
Now, at that point, you've lost touch with your religion. Is that true?
Well, no. I was a God guy mm-hmm. just because, you know, I was in a 12-step program. You know, I've been sober 17 years now. So already from age 23 till that point, I had been, you know, doing what a lot of people do, which is, you know, okay, God's there when I need him, and I'll ask him for help when I need him. And
do the Baldwins have the alcoholic gene? It seems like they do.
I don't know. I haven't done that research.
Seems like there's a lot of energy in the Baldwin group.
Yeah, we're an interesting bunch.
Yes.
Coffee's for closers only.
Yeah. How did that happen? Do you know?
Well, I'll make the joke that all the Baldwin boys like to say all the time, you know. The reason we've been as successful as we have in every way, it's in our genes. Get it?
I see, in the genes, the front part of the genes. Well, it just strikes me that, I mean, I know your brother Alec. I don't know any of the other Baldwins, and I'm not sure what he makes of the whole ministry thing. What does he make of it?
He endorsed my book. Look at the back of the book.
He did.
He endorsed the book, baby.
But would he call himself a religious person? He doesn't seem that religious.
He would call himself a Christian. He's a Roman Catholic, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he goes to church on Sunday.
Okay, so he does?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Did not know that. So you, now it's 12 years ago, you have the cleaning woman come over from Brazil. She tells you she had a vision. She's now cleaning your house. And what happens?
She received a prophecy,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is kind of weird, you know, but if it didn't all come true, then I would be sitting here saying, no, it's a bunch of nonsense. And then what happened? Well, then what happened was she went on to work for somebody else, a lovely Jewish family in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And my second daughter was born 4 years later. At this time, I was living in Arizona doing this TV show, The Young Riders.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I moved back to New York. About 9 or 10 years ago, my wife starts going to church just because the seed kind of was planted in her mind about this whole thing.
Now, at this point, are you drinking or are you sober? You're sober. You've been sober for 17 years.
Yes, sir.
What about womanizing?
Oh, no problem with that whatsoever.
No problem with it. So you're doing it. Are you stepping out on your wife?
No.
No, you mean no problem, like, you're not doing it?
No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, no problem getting the ladies on the road.
No.
Okay, so you're faithful to your wife. You're not doing any drugs. Here's what I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of times when people find Jesus Christ, they find him in prison or they find him on Skid Row, they find him after they've bottomed out.
Right.
You're being faithful to your wife and you've not gotten back into the booze. What's in it for you?
Well, that's, again, the whole story of my testimony is pretty freaky, because a lot of the time people will come to me often and ask the question that you just asked. What was your road to Damascus? What was your burning bush? What was the cataclysmic event that led you to say, you know, God, you know, help me?
Right.
And there was really, that's not true. 9/11 was the thing that made me kind of go, But there is this slow buildup. My wife and I moved back to New York. She starts attending a very charismatic Brazilian church service. She becomes a born-again Christian 6 years ago. The next year after that, I watched this woman who I'd already been with for 10 years kind of go through...
Your wife, yes.
My wife. Kind of go through what appeared to me to be a very significant, authentic, genuine transformation. Now, mind you, this was a chick I'd already been with 10 years. This wasn't some complete stranger. This wasn't some new thing.
Right.
So I think it was really that year and my ability to witness firsthand my best friend go through, like, this incredible transformation that made me start to become open-minded to the idea.
Well, so now, and I'm curious how Hollywood has received this, because it strikes me that they probably wouldn't be so hot on the idea of you going out and thumping the Bible. I mean, in terms of getting acting work.
That's okay, because for most of Hollywood, it's going to be hot where they're going, baby.
Really?
It sounded like Alec when you said that.
Sorry.
So you figure we're going to hell. That's why we got to have a good time now. But are you going to be able to make a living? I mean, obviously you have a book to sell. Are you preaching? Do you want to open up your own church? What's Mel Gibson doing? Do you know Mel Gibson? You ever been to his church?
I love Mel Gibson.
You have?
He's one of my heroes. No, I haven't been to his church. But here's the thing. I'm here to talk about the book. The book is Unusual Suspect. Mm-hmm. It's doing very well.
Yeah, I saw the New York bestseller list and all that stuff.
New York Times bestseller list. And then...
What's the book about?
The book is just, you know, jokingly, the gospel according to Stevie B. It's just my life as a Baldwin, my life in Hollywood, the story of my conversion, and then all the kind of freaky stories I like to tell in retrospect. But after that, the other thing that I'm here to share with you that I think is really interesting is I am launching my own ministry called the Breakthrough Ministry. And the first city that I'm going to infiltrate with myself and my breakthrough comrades is Hollywood, California.
Well, Stephen, maybe you can start here, because Adam Carolla is an atheist.
Yeah, you can convert me. And also, I feel like there's a lot of ministries. Like, well, what are you going to bring to the table that's different? I mean, you turn on the TV and you see these guys all over the place. Same message, essentially. Why do we need another one?
But ain't none of them Stevie B, Adam. You know what I'm saying?
Can Stevie B convince Adam that there is a God?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not about... See, I'm a Bible guy now. It's not about my will or what I can do or how I can convince you of anything. According to the Bible, the Spirit of God is what does everything that it does. So I believe that there's the potential in the future for Adam Carolla, if he becomes willing or open-minded enough, that there is a potential that God could prove to Adam that he exists and he's real.
But it's like anything else. I just need to see a spreadsheet or something, and I'll buy into it. I need something tangible.
Here's the three things I want to share with you about how that's possible.
All right.
Because a lot of the time, people, and you're very gracious. Seriously, I'm not blowing smoke. You're a fun, cool person who, when you choose to get combative about whatever you believe or not, at least you're gracious enough to hear the other side of the story. So I appreciate that.
Well,
I shouldn't have said that now. Now he's going to hit me with a rubber chicken.
No, Stephen, I think that's fair.
I really want people, I just want to say this quickly. People sometimes will say, who do you listen to when you were listening to talk radio? And I'll say, I like listening to Dennis Prager. And they'll say, Dennis Prager, he's out here in Los Angeles. He's Jewish. He's like almost Hasidic Jew. Mm-hmm. He's right-wing. He's conservative. What do you have in common with this guy? And I always say, I like listening to people I don't have something in common with. Right. Because otherwise, just like looking into the mirror or shouting into a garbage can. I don't need to hear my own voice. I like when people laugh. I like it when people agree. But when it comes to talking to people, I like to hear what they have to say and then make fun of them later after they take their cameras out of here.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's the thing people stop me on the street all the time and say. People stop me on the street and say this. What happened, and I don't care what you say to me, you're Stephen Baldwin, you used to be a freak, I don't believe that what's happened to you is real. Mm-hmm. That's what I get most of the time. And here's what I tell them. There's three things that happened to me that I like to pitch to people about how this experience can become real. Number one, I tell most of I meet a lot of guys on Wall Street, rich guys, young guys, partying, let's go here, let's do drugs, let's get broads, blah, blah, blah. And I tell these guys, listen, I've been there. I've been on your side of the street. Before I was married, I was a freak. And did the drugs, got the chicks, became famous, blah, blah. So I've been in that lifestyle and in that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm on the other side of the street. And the thing is, most people that come to me and say this, they've never tried this thing according to the way God says.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell me my experience isn't real. I've been on your side, but until you've become willing to try this thing and opened your mind and opened your heart and disciplined yourself to really explore this experience, you're never going to know if what I'm saying isn't true. That's number one. Number two.
Yes.
Then after you become willing, mm-hmm. it requires certain steps. You have to take certain steps. And once you've taken them, what's really freaky, here's the first. See, I'm a freak.
Yeah.
I'm a skydiver.
Why do you call yourself a freak?
Because I'm just an adrenaline junkie, lover of life, freak daddy. Now I'm a flipped out Jesus freak, which I love. But here's the thing. Let me finish. The second point is, the Word of God says, and the Bible says, that when you take that first step, then spiritually, supernaturally,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit of God starts to come into your life, and then as you start to operate and function in the Spirit, then you start to receive the understanding of the experience.
How literal are you when it comes to the Bible? Do you think there's a hell and a heaven? Do you think there's a place you go called heaven or called hell after you die? You know, fire, brimstone, harps, clouds, that kind of stuff.
Let me say this. I'm not going to answer that because I'm going to qualify the answer first. I have had things happen to me in the last 5 years that unequivocally confirm without any question in my mind,
mm-hmm.
to the point of death, that God is real, the Bible's real, every word in the Bible is real, and it's exactly what it's supposed to be. Because you'll get people that say to you all the time, isn't it a history book? And, you know, men wrote the Bible, and therefore, how can it be real? And blah, blah. So listen, gets back to point two that I was just addressing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Point two, I said, until the Spirit starts to operate in your life the way it's supposed to, you don't have the understanding. That's what the Bible says.
Shirley Phelps, speaking of the Bible, Stephen Baldwin in studio, the unusual suspect.
Praise the Lord.
Famous noon book. Praise the Lord. Shirley Phelps, speaking of praising the Lord. Shirley Phelps is also a very religious person. I'm sure you guys can find some common ground, although she expresses herself by going to funerals of military men and protesting. She's the one that is you've heard about in the news. Shirley, you there? Oh, punched her up. Shirley, sorry.
Yes.
What's going on, baby doll?
Well, that's just, it's painful listening to this liar.
Well, wait a second. Now,
I mean, it's painful. Did he ever crack the Bible that he lauds over and lies about? Take that first step. How about this? Here's what the scripture says. You're dead in trespasses and sins until the Lord your God through the Holy Spirit quickens you. That means you are unable to do anything for yourself on that front. So stop talking about taking first steps. You take away the sovereignty of God and you mock him with your arrogance. And here's another thing. Stop making merchandise of the gospel. What you've got here is a shtick to make money. What you've got is a thing that's going to make you money. And shame on you. Alec Baldwin is an adulterous whore.
Whoa.
And you've got him. You've got him. Why would you ask him to endorse your book except that it'll make you money? You're a money-grubbing, phony, lying, false prophet.
The good news is,
and by the way, stop going out there on those highways taking pictures of those other perverts. And is this your first wife?
Ooh, these are all powerful
questions. Is it your first wife or not?
Stephen, a lot of things to answer
for. First wife?
Is it your first wife?
Yes.
You just whored around, and now you've got a wife, and you're faithful to her.
See what
he did.
Because I gave her the answer she didn't want, she started...
That's good. That's good. I heard you talk earlier.
Sweetheart, here's what I want to share with you. May the truthful love...
How about if you speak according to the scriptures?
Okay.
It is he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me. What common cause do you have left with Alec Baldwin if you claim that you serve God?
Why would you ask him for anything? He's a friend of mine. What's the problem with Alec Baldwin?
How many wives has Alec Baldwin had?
Just one.
Yes.
Just one. And now he's sloughed her off, and he's fighting over those kids. Is that right or not? Or does the press...
All your facts are wrong, my love.
I tend...
Are you telling me that the reports about him being divorced from this woman are wrong?
No, but there's no kids, plural.
There's one child.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Right, right, right.
But we're all God's children.
Yes or no?
Hold on one second. Hold it. Kim Basinger is... clinically insane.
I'm not talking about that.
She's nuts, right?
Yeah, I'm not talking about
that.
You don't need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ said
if he would build his house upon a foundation of serving God, then he would not make shipwreck of his house. She's his crazy wife.
All right, let's not talk about Alec. Yeah. Let's focus on Stephen.
You don't say I serve God and then say I also make common cause with this guy that made shipwreck of his house.
Well,
and I use him to make money. Are you saying?
I'm confused.
Let me say this. I feel like you both could get together here because
I think we should have a cage match.
No, and what is he doing out there on that highway taking pictures of these other perverts that are going into this thing?
I
don't know what he's doing. Oh, you're probably thinking of Daniel Baldwin.
No,
he's out on the highway
ramming
his car and stuff.
Taking pictures of people going into the porn house.
What about that?
You can reform the devil? Your job is to serve God, obey his commandments, and that includes telling the truth about him and stop saying that you have a free will.
Stephen, did you take pictures? Hold on, Shirley. Did you take pictures of guys going into porn houses?
No. What happened was they attempted to open a pornographic store in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then I threatened to take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then subsequently a lawsuit was filed, and then the bookstore was closed down.
Uh-huh.
So, I understand her interpretation of the scriptures as we're really what's in question here. This woman has an interpretation of the scripture,
mm-hmm.
which is why she does the things that she does. But all I want to share with her is simply this, and thank God I get a chance to respond. All I want to say to you is this, sister. I pray in the name of Jesus that the true loving spirit of Jesus Christ comes into your heart so that you can truly be serving the Lord in the way that he wants you to. That is my prayer for you, honey.
I pray a tree falls on her. And not even religious.
It is your own form
Shirley.
Of phony righteousness.
All right, hold on a second. I feel like you two could get together on a few points
Cage
here.
Cage match!
They both hate porn.
We need to take a break, but you both love the righteous and you hate sinners and you've embraced Jesus Christ and the Bible.
No, he doesn't love the righteous.
He does.
Why isn't he out there with the picket sign saying God hates fags?
It's a good point. Well, Touche.
Now, hold on a second. Wait. One quick question.
Yes.
Shirley?
Yes.
What scripture do you justify holding that sign? What scripture?
Well, start with Romans 9:13 and Psalm 5:5.
Okay, Romans.
Go through the prophets.
Hold on, I got Romans 9:13 right
here.
Here,
and he's looking through
it.
I got it right here.
Because he's got it. He's
hold
got
on.
It in front of him.
Romans 9:13.
Yes.
It says right here.
It does say something about holding fag posters up in front of funerals.
The older will serve the other. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated.
It's Esau.
Esau, okay. Esau I hated. I don't even know the Ten Commandments, so don't worry about it.
Well, why don't you? What are you saying? You obey God and love the Bible, but you don't know the Ten Commandments?
Yeah. See, I opened that door quick, Adam. Sorry. But explain that scripture to me, Shirley.
Okay.
Just as it is written, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated.
God loves those who serve him, and he hates the rest, and they're going to hell.
So wait a second. Where does it justify in that scripture that you hold up signs that say God hates...
Well, then get over to Romans 1, start at verse 18, and read that quickly.
All right, okay. Hold on a second, Shirley. We need to take a break. Can you hang with us?
Well, how do you read Romans 1, 18 to 32 during the break? And then
okay, you got it.
Yeah, we normally keep it posted here in the studio, but Meryl Schimler takes it off during the restaurant review over the weekend.
All right.
Yeah, he hates when we put the Bible scripture up there. All right, Shirley, hang on, baby doll. Okay.
No, I just read that one she just told me to study there.
Well, hold on a second. Stephen Baldwin.
It's about interpretation, people.
Stephen Baldwin is here, the usual suspect. New York Times bestseller list. We'll take a quick break.
And then I have a present for you, Adam.
Oh, good. A present for me?
I brought you a present.
Well, I have a present called Shirley Phelps. You can continue talking to her.
It's on giving.
After this.
Definitely not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Beckley, West Virginia. While under investigation for marijuana possession, a 39-year-old taxidermist was charged with illegally hunting in a state park, illegal possession of a black bear cub, and unlawful possession of a hawk. Definitely not a Jew.
Stephen Baldwin in studio. The usual suspect, name of his book.
Unusual.
The unusual suspect.
Unusual suspect, my calling to the new hardcore movement of faith, people.
Shirley Phelps, speaking of hardcore, the one who goes out and protests.
I love
funerals.
Shirley. I have love for Shirley. I love her in the name of Jesus. And what I want to share with Shirley also is this. Mm. What about unity? How about I tell people Shirley's a nice lady, she's, you know, God bless her, I hope her ministry does well. We have to come together, we believers in Jesus.
Mm, yes, how about that, Shirley? You're both on the same side.
Okay, then how about this? He asked me how we justify, and I'm going to give him three verses, and then he needs to say how he fits into this.
How you justify what?
Standing on these streets with these picket signs.
Mm-hmm. At the funerals.
Yeah, well, it's on the street sign. Wherever we're located, we've been everywhere, every day.
What do your picket signs say?
Thank God for 9/11. Thank God for dead soldiers. Thank God for IEDs. God hates fags. God hates fag enablers. God hates America. America is doomed. Don't pray for the USA. Too late to pray.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thank God for AIDS.
So why do you live here?
It's a good
because
point.
This is exactly, Mr. Faithful, where the Lord, my God, put me.
It's my poor name.
You understand?
Yeah.
Son of man, here's the reason. Here's the justification. Cause America to know her abominations. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a
trumpet.
What
are you reading?
I'm reading Isaiah 58:1.
And it has the word America in it?
Hun,
good point.
You understand that Ezekiel 16 is written. You need to read it, every last word.
You were just reading scripture and put the word America
That's
in it.
That's because I, like any servant of God, would understand that I'm talking to America, not Jerusalem.
It also says your country here.
Cause
when
America
you look, when you read the Bible.
Dare not lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression.
Hey, Shirley.
For this saith, this is the good one. This is what you'll love. This is the part about being at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You take the wine cup of the fury and wrath of God at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the confirming sword that I send among them. We tell you that you're doomed and God is kicking your ass right behind it.
Shirley, do you have all your kids? You have 11 kids, right?
Yes.
Are you homeschooling them?
No, I don't. I couldn't possibly do that justice because of all this work I have to do trying to cause America to know her abominations.
Mm-hmm.
So, and all. if we're not out in the public, walking in front of the eyes of these people, it's easy to lie about us. So we're living in this town. We have our children right. They know what kind of people we are, and they know that we're honest and upright, and that we walk orderly among them.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's hard to lie about us.
Well, maybe you could get one of your kids by the phone and sing another one of your songs.
Oh, I could, because we already gave you the Marines.
Hold on a second. Yeah,
Meg,
I just...
Because a couple of my kids are in college, and they're here. Hey, girls, come here.
Adam, junior college?
No, college. Silly. One's headed for nursing school, one's headed for law school. Come here, Meg.
Oh, hold on. Imagine getting this nut job as your nurse. Angel of death.
Is your daughter, the college student daughter, is she there now? Can she come say hi?
She's a good kid. Come here, Luke. Mm-hmm. My baby also is 4, so he's not in school yet.
Right.
Hey, guys, we sang the Marine song, we sang the Army song, we need to sing the Air Force song.
Oh no.
You're going to love this.
Oh, no.
Okay, you ready?
Here's where it gets sad and bizarre.
Children, right? They know what kind of people we are, and they know that we're honest and upright, and that we walk orderly among them.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, hey, are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay. Off we go, facing the God you've angered, stripped away all of your lies. Fags and flags, they were your favorite idols, down in flames, never to rise. So off you go, facing the God who killed you, raging mad every day. You lived in vain, you will land in flames. God has cursed the U.S. Air Force. Hey.
Wow.
Hey, what's your...
Was that awesome? So you went and talked to Rebecca, is that what you said?
How old is Rebecca?
Well, she's the one you spoke with last week and you traumatized her. I better let you talk with Megan.
I told her to run.
Megan's the one headed for a law school, so she's a little more feisty and she's a year older than Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, here she is.
All right.
Go ahead, girls, both of you pick up. And I'm getting off because I don't want to hear this.
Thank you. This is going to be good.
And do something substantive. Don't tell him to run. Guys, it's Stephen Baldwin, and he is making merchandise of the gospel, selling some book.
Oh, just because he gave me a Moses commuter mug doesn't mean he's making merchandise of it.
Jesus refrigerator magnet was
yes.
Nice.
Lentis from Minnesota. Reporter.
Megan?
Hi.
Hey, how old are you?
Becca is 19 and I am 20.
Is this Megan I'm speaking to and Becca?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Huh. You guys are college students?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you were born and raised by your crazy mom, Shirley, right?
We were born and raised by a woman who loves the Lord and is going to serve him and teach her children to do the same.
But have you guys ever thought about this? You know, I don't want to get too heavy on you, but if you were born into a family of Jews, then you'd be talking to me about the Torah right now, and if you're born in the Middle East, we may be talking about the Quran.
Yeah, what you're talking about is the sovereignty of God. That's the issue here, the sovereignty of God, because you realize that it doesn't matter if you are one of the elect of God, it doesn't matter where you're born or what family you're born into.
Hmm.
It matters that he controls your heart, and that if you are going to be a member of one of his churches, then you are going to get your call.
But he didn't
get there, just like my dad. You think my dad wasn't born into this church, and he ended up here.
Oh, poor son of a bitch.
Who is this speaking, Rebecca?
These are the children.
I got it. Is this Rebecca?
Rebecca and Megan. I think it's both of them.
Who was just talking?
I was, Megan.
Megan, can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
What are you wearing?
Megan, Megan, I was curious about something. Would you agree or disagree that no matter what we do in the name of Jesus, if in our cause it chases people away from salvation, that's wrong?
No, of course not. I mean, seriously, have you ever read the words of Jesus Christ where he said he came to this earth and he spoke to them in parables for one reason, to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, that he, by that means, he was going to harden your heart and stop up your ears and blind your eyes so that you would never see, that you would never believe, and you would never hear his word and be converted.
And it's not your duty to make the gospel palatable for people who don't want to hear it.
Right.
You're supposed to preach it truthfully.
All right, so you guys...
So hold on, I have one more question. So,
yes.
And in that opinion, girls...
It's not an opinion, that's the word of God that we just quoted to you. It's Matthew 13:23.
Okay.
Do you see why this should be considered child abuse?
Yes.
Adam, hold on a second.
Yes.
So girls, okay, so based on your interpretation,
No, based on the words.
My question is our interpretation.
We just quote.
My question
Peter says there is. It's not open for interpretation.
My question is this: is this all predestination?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So then you're the origin of your perception is a Calvinist one, and it's all predestined, and it doesn't matter who you are. There are those in a predestined way that are chosen to go to heaven and chosen to go to hell. Is that what you're
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly right.
Are you guys virgins?
The biggest preacher on predestination and reprobation.
Are you guys virgins?
Hell yeah.
We got some work to do after this show.
Wait a second. They just
hell
yeah.
Why?
It's not taking the answer. Aren't you not supposed
Listen,
to say
you're
that?
You're acting like predestination is a foreign concept in the scriptures.
No, I believe in predestination as well.
All right.
Yeah, what's your problem with it?
I'm growing weary of you two.
Jesus, this is boring.
Not you two. You two.
Well, girls, let me just, Adam, I need to finish with one thing.
Oh, yes.
It's Megan and Rebecca.
Right.
Well, girls, here's... I'm somebody that's flying in the spirit in a very different way than you are.
No, what you are is substituting
your flesh.
What you're doing is substituting your judgments for the judgments of God.
Horse.
Okay, no. Well, all I want to say to this, girls, see, because in the prophetic realm, I have been given the power to break off the spirit of Satan in your life. So in that regard...
You don't need to lie to us.
In that regard...
We know what you're about.
In that regard... All I want to say to you, because here's the thing, you sound like a girl that came up to me at a Christian college once and said to me, Stephen, do you think that you can be a true believer and follower of Jesus Christ with the way you behave on some of your television programs and your reality shows? And you know what I told that girl? I said, darling, when Jesus Christ called Stephen Baldwin to preach the gospel, it wasn't to somebody like you. Okay, so you have whatever your opinion is, and I pray in the name of Jesus that the true spirit of Jesus Christ would
Here's
come into
though.
Your
God
heart.
Hear your prayer.
I pray you guys get herpes in the name of Satan.
I pray in the
All
name
right,
of
I've
Jesus.
I've had enough of these two.
That it be broken.
I'll tell you what I pray for.
I pray that the truth come into your heart in the name of Jesus.
I pray.
It's my prayer.
I pray that
praise the Lord
drunken
Jesus.
Daniel Baldwin shows up at their door
Easy.
And shows them a little something I call rough trade.
Easy.
It takes brass balls to sell this.
God bless you, girls.
Yeah. You're really doing the Lord's work.
God bless you.
As I've said, if anyone hasn't really thought about this, if you were born in some tribe in Africa, you'd have a big wooden plate in your lip, and you'd be drinking lion blood, and you'd be doing whatever dance they do. And then
you ready?
Wait a second. You got a present. Wherever you're born, that's what you... kids were unfortunate enough to be born to
Here
a nut
comes.
Job. You got a present to give me? A Moses action hero?
Yeah.
Finally. I hope there's booze in that
thing. Listen. Hold on.
Can you drink out of Moses' head?
I'm going to try.
You shall not covet your neighbor's possessions.
Listen.
The Ten Commandments.
Wow, so it does them all?
You have no other gods before me.
Silent breed is people!
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God.
Hold on, here it comes.
Keep holy the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not kill.
Does he do Moses out?
Take your stinky paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness.
Oh, my kids
you
are going to love that.
I always forget that one. Wife. It's like Doc.
Yeah. And, you know, I believe, I don't want to correct the plastic Moses, but it's your neighbor's wife and his oxen. Actually, I think it's oxen and then the wife, which shows where our heads were at back then.
Are you stoked on the Moses?
I am. That is a nice item. And, you know, the thing I like about whenever they make figurines of somebody, they make them more muscular than they need to be. Now, if they're making an action hero or an NFL player, they're making Dante Culpepper. That's one thing. Put some big guns. Does Moses need to have 18-inch pythons? Yeah. He's really filling
He's
out that truck.
He's got to hold up the Ten
Thank
Commandments.
You. Wow, look at him.
He's robust.
I have a theory that they have one action body that they put the different heads on. That's why they all seem to be built like Schwarzenegger.
I got another question. I mean, we'll get back to Shirley later.
Oh, screw Shirley. Literally.
Everyone else in town has.
Hey, Shirley, send me an email. Let me know. I'm about to, in my ministry here in Hollywood, because the breakthrough is coming to Hollywood. This is going to be big, people. And let me just tell you right now, the thing I'm going to be doing first is, like, going into the porn world.
here in Hollywood.
That's where I'll be.
I'm going into the porn world, and I'm going to start preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, which surely obviously doesn't...
Let me finish first.
Easy. So what do you... Let me ask
a couple of questions. First off, has your brother Alec... Has he put a hit on you yet? I feel like he's going to hire a drifter to try to take you out.
Yeah.
I did Alan Combs' radio show a couple months ago, dude. He was wigging about the fact that I'm related to Alec.
Yeah, well, it seems like
you guys point
at George Bush. You guys are politically very far apart. And then what about Bono? I see here that you criticized Bono for his humanitarian efforts.
Well, I wouldn't say criticized. I just had an opinion.
On par with Satan, you say.
I never say that, you kook.
It is written.
in the scrolls of Baldwin's...
Yes. What was the problem with Bono? No, I don't like him. I think he's a little preachy, pardon the pun. But go ahead. What was your problem with Bono?
My problem is the opposite. I don't think he's preachy enough. I simply said this. First of all, not to kiss butt, just to qualify. I love Bono. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of the music. Mm-hmm. Love him a lot. Think all that the work he does is wonderful.
But
the last thing Jesus Christ said was go and make disciples of all the nations. You'd think... If it's the last thing he said, kind of might be a little important.
But maybe Bono's not into it you are.
That's cool. So in my opinion, what I write in the book is this. If you're really a Christian, which he says he is, which I believe he is, and he's doing great Christian work. But for me, what's more important than all these things, in my opinion, what's more important than all these things Bono is doing is getting the gospel out and talking to people about Jesus Christ. So that it's just my opinion. I said in the last 20 years...
Well, what would you do in, you know, he's trying to raise money for Africa constantly because of all the problems they're having over there. What would preaching the gospel do to correct that as opposed to raising money to buy food and medical supplies?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to an area in Africa, okay, and you alleviate them of their debt, you bring in food, you bring in water, you bring in medicine, you make their lives 1,000% better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if the Bible's true, which I know it is, and you've made all these things so wonderful and nice for them, what happens when they die if they don't know Jesus?
They go to hell?
They go to hell.
So hell?
My question is...
like you're saying, hi.
Shalom.
Ironically, they go to hell.
My question is, what was the point? It was nice for them for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years?
Well, I would just see if I could get them to put some condoms on, I think would be my main preach.
I think that's important. But...
That's amazing.
What I'm curious about is this.
That is absolutely amazing.
What I'm curious about is this.
I believe that those Christians who say they're Christians that are in positions like Bono need to be standing up and speaking out more about the gospel of Jesus Christ because no one's doing that.
But no offense, if he did that, people would think he was nutty and they wouldn't take him seriously.
Well, but you know what? You have to be willing to take that risk. Now listen, this is only my opinion. I'm not even a blip on the radar screen in the mind of Mr. Bono. I am meaningless to this guy, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I'm excited and hopeful that people in positions of influence like Bono, who say they believe in Jesus, will start preaching the gospel and stop doing all these other things because it's more important.
Hey, Nikki.
Hey, yeah.
Sorry. What's wrong with Stephen Baldwin and Shirley?
Well, I think it's really great how zealous Stephen is.
Who's Nikki?
She's nobody.
How you doing?
She's potentially one of your flock.
Yeah. She's one of our listeners.
Fire away, Nikki.
Yeah, I think it's great, the zeal that you have, that you found religion and everything.
No, I didn't find religion. I found faith.
Well, you found faith. That's good. Whatever you want to call it. I believe in God, too, but I also believe that we're not supposed to shove our opinions down anybody else's throats. And that, you know, God or the universe or the light or whoever you want to call it or whatever it is to you is for you individually. That's one of the reasons, like Megan, whatever her name was, she's talking about how Jesus spoke in parables. Well, those parables aren't just cut and dry meanings. They mean a different thing to every person. And God means a different thing to every person. Even the way that Adam sees or does not see God, it's his individual choice.
Absolutely.
And so I just think it's flawed when you say something like, to know, you have to know Jesus in order to do this or do that.
All right, well,
I don't even think it's necessarily knowing Jesus, it's knowing the message. And his message pretty much was love. And however you encounter that message.
Well, are you asking, hold on, Nikki, are you asking Stephen why he has to go out and spread it around?
Why he has to go out and spread? Not necessarily. I mean, anybody who's zealous like that, like my dad, when he first got saved, he threw out.
It's boring.
I thought you had a good point, though. What about live and let live, Stephen? No,
well, this is what I would say.
Doesn't sell
this
books.
Is what I would say to Nikki. This is what I would say to Nikki. I'd say this. Faith in Jesus Christ requires this. Requires that believing that the Word of God, which is found in the Bible, is real and true, mm-hmm. and then doing your best to understand that and learn it and live it. So what she's unaware of is, like it says in John 3:16, that the only way to come into this understanding and the only way to achieve salvation and the only way to absolutely, assuredly, the one and only way to have eternal life in heaven is through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So all I can say to Nikki is, I didn't say that. That's not just my opinion. That's based on the faith that I believe, which is Jesus Christ.
Speaking of John 3:16, I miss Rainbowhead.
Yeah.
Rainbowhead used to sit in the end zone of every NFL football game holding that sign up during the extra points that said John 3:16 until he decided to go to a hotel by the airport and take some hostages. And now he's in the joint,
during life. Yes.
All I'm saying is there's a rainbow wig that has no skull in it that is getting mighty cold on the sidelines and needs to get back in the game. And I got to tell
Shirley.
You this, Stephen Baldwin.
Shirley,
somebody could dust off the rainbow
Shirley.
Wig, get the 316 sign, and hit the end zone, it would be the biggest news, not only in sports, just in the day. If Stephen Baldwin could put on the rainbow wig, get himself a nice 12-pack box and write John 3:16 on it and stand out in the end zone, it would be huge.
Harry Hart would probably talk about it on Entertainment Tonight, too. Hey, Stephen,
sure.
A quick question for you. Adam is an atheist.
Right.
Is he going to hell?
By the way, I'll get to that. But by the way, I don't believe he's an atheist. I don't believe he's an atheist. I believe that he says he is just because somewhere in his past he got to a place where he's whatever about it and just chooses to say that that's what he is. Okay. I don't believe that. I believe that God has already spoken to Adam. Adam has had supernatural experiences in his life that he, even sitting there now today, and this is just me talking in the spirit, I'm just saying, he could get on the mic in 10 seconds and say, shut up, idiot, you don't know what you're talking about. But I'll say that I believe there are questions that have not been answered in his life that are moments that occurred that he somewhere in his mind believes it might have been God. So I think he's probably an agnostic, but an atheist is something else.
If that clock falls off the wall and conks him in the head and he's dead, even though he has not said anything like, yeah, listen, you know what? At the end of the day, I believe in Jesus and I accept this and that. He is still going to go to hell, or will he go to heaven because in his subconscious somewhere he believes in Jesus?
I'll just say this. According to the scripture, according to the word, God knows our hearts. God knows the truth in our hearts. And what's in Adam's heart? I don't know.
Well, here's my simple answer with religion, but it could be this religion or any religion if you think about it, if you want to just get sort of broad about it and philosophical. You're born into the time you're born. You're born into the culture you're born. You're born the skin color you have and to the family you're born into. Whatever values that family has, for the most part, 99% of the time, you will adopt. If you're born into Jews, you're a Jew. Christians, Muslim, and so on and so forth, and into the time that you're born. Who the hell knows what we'll find out in the future, or who knows what we didn't know in the past? I am a product of folks that were essentially atheists. We never talked about it. It wasn't put into me. And just like a language that I don't speak, I don't know it. It was never discussed, so therefore, I don't have it in me. Right. We never had it. Now, the problem is once you become an adult and once the cement, your brain, it's like a sidewalk. If you catch it at the right time and the cement's wet, you can take a stick and write anything you want into it, and it will be there forever. Put the date, put your name, put your girlfriend's name, and somebody could walk over that sidewalk 100 years later, and there it'll be clear as a bell. On the other hand, once the cement in your sidewalk of a brain dries, there's no room for any more initials in it. My brain has dried, and it dried before anyone was able to scratch in Christianity or Jesus Christ or anything to do with the Bible,
well,
and now it won't penetrate.
That's based on your experience. Now, let me just say this.
Or not having an experience.
Right.
It's really
let me
based
just say,
on
would
that.
You say, would you say that you have no faith?
Yes.
Okay. So do you drive a car?
Yes.
Do people die every year of brake failure?
Yes.
Okay. So then, unfortunately, my friend, you're incorrect because you are demonstrating faith every time you get in your car. Let me finish.
It's more risk assessment, but go ahead.
Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith...
Something about turning rotors?
Hold on.
And repacking front bearings?
No, it says now faith... Shirley might have that interpretation, but I don't. It says now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see.
Mm-hmm.
That's faith. So what I said earlier is you cannot come into this experience and understanding until you become willing to take a couple of steps. So, in other words, what I'm saying is the car you drive now, it's a nice car, isn't it, Adam?
I have multiple automobiles, yes, mostly
what's
from
what's your
Europe.
Favorite one?
Oh, my, I'm going to have to say I have a Lamborghini that I like quite a bit.
Do you have a Lamborghini?
Yeah, it's an old one. It's a 60s Lamborghini.
My goodness. So, question.
Mm.
Question.
Yes.
How many times have you driven the car?
Oh, only a handful of times because it's
okay,
new.
Which car do you drive the most often?
Oh, I'd say my Mini Cooper.
Okay, so the Mini Cooper you've driven 100 times?
Yes.
Okay.
At least.
Now, was the experience that you have in the Mini Cooper the same yesterday as the first time you ever drove it?
No.
Why?
Well, because I've become used to it.
Because of your...
Experience
in the vehicle.
Yes.
Now it's become different. You understand it better. You know how it shifts. You know where the buttons are. You know. So now you find an experience and an understanding of that experience based on the experience.
If we could talk about cars in church, I would be more likely
you
to go
talk
during
about cars in church,
season
baby.
Sundays.
You can talk about
right.
cars
okay,
in church.
Okay, time has passed. Ruska's going to nail both of us to the cross.
Adam, I have one more question.
Yes.
Please go to break?
Please
two
make it a car
one.
Question.
Why?
Yes.
Are you going to read my book?
Yes.
It's fun. It's got gnarly stories in it.
When you're an atheist, you can lie and do whatever you want.
Adam!
Yes, I'll read it.
It's funny.
I'll read it.
Two.
Come
to the party Thursday night. It's really going to be a blast.
Well, I can't promise that,
no,
but
no.
I will promise to
I
read
know
the
you're
book.
Busy.
That's true.
The party is going to be slamming.
And
there's
going to
be a vert ramp in the middle of it, skateboarding, guys ripping, and Family Force 5 is going to be shredding.
Stephen Baldwin, The Unusual Suspect. Go out and get it. I'm going to read it. I will not be reading it at his party Thursday night, but I will be reading it. Thank you, Stephen. Good talking to you. Come back anytime you like.
Thanks, brother.
We'll be right back.
Take care.
Thursday night at the Playboy Mansion.
I'm looking at 12 ladies tweaking and pinching their nipples.
Charlotte is topless. What can't Adam and Jimmy complain about?
Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, the man showed up dressed as me tonight with a mono brow, and he removed the sock he normally keeps in his jock strap.
Teresa, come get naked in the grotto with Tad.
Ray,
here comes the sock,
Ray.
Look,
Ray,
Teresa, into
this
the
is
pool.
She will sue our asses. It's officially turned into Sodom and Gomorrah here.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, the Playboy Mansion party we did on Thursday night started off just fine, and then people got plowed. They got boozed. I mean, here's the deal. Free bar, Playboy Mansion mixed with shuttle means just game on with the booze. People got toasted. People got out of hand. People got naked. Johnny was at the party. He has this to say about it, Johnny.
Hey, what's happening, Ace Man?
What's happening, Johnny?
Still recovering from that party. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. But I tell you, the best thing, as gross as Tad looked, it was good wood repellent. You know what I'm saying? Because I did a lot of swimming there in the grotto, and sometimes you get a little excited, but there's Tad. Look at him. Boom. Goes right down on you.
It's
that
nice.
Really helped out. Yeah.
He's a wood killer.
Right, like thinking about baseball.
Kills wood dead. Yeah.
Right, right. But yeah, it was great
Dead
fun.
Deadwood's the name of it. That's what we call them around here.
Deadwood, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah. So where were you? It says up on the screen you saw people having sex in the grotto.
Oh, right in the back there. Yeah, several different people, different times. It was creepy.
They were actually fornicating, as Stephen Baldwin would say, in the grotto.
They were fornicating, if I've ever seen it before, sure. Three at a time, actually. I've seen three at one time back there.
Just next to each other.
Well, they were at different spots. They weren't doing like.
But all in plain view of each other?
Oh, yeah, sure. And anybody else who walked back there. I know they were doing it back when Kimmel walked back there to start that broadcast.
It's funny. It's a sort of religious pilgrimage for pagans. You know, there's certain places where if you're a religious person, you just got to go touch the Rosetta Stone or whatever it is. If you're an atheist, you get it on in the grotto, and it doesn't matter if there's a couple next to you or behind you or a guy standing around with a microphone or a camera. Doesn't matter.
Right, it's almost a church for atheists.
Yes, to say you've had sex in the grotto, yes, that is your temple. That's
sure.
Your temple, the grotto. All right, well, good times there, Johnny. Did you hook up to anyone yourself?
The next night I did in San Diego, that was even better with the Posse Heidi Frank thing. So.
All right, you couldn't score at the Playboy Mansion, but yet you got something over in San Diego.
I was so wasted, I didn't even have myself that night.
What were you dressed as? I want to see if I recognize you.
I was the guy in the towel. I started as a gynecologist, and as soon as the girls started swimming, I dropped trowel, and that was it. I was the guy in the towel.
All right. Let's talk to our K Marie. What name is this?
It's K Marie.
K Marie. Oh, like in K A Y.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Were you at the party?
I was. I was dressed as the bumblebee.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hot. It's good.
Yeah, I had a good time, but I have a funny story about actually my friend that I was with.
Let's hear it.
We sat down. We were just taking a little break, got something to eat, and this guy came up. He was an older guy by himself. He seemed nice enough, and he was just sitting talking to us.
Was he wearing a pickle barrel?
No.
Okay.
But he said that he was there with a friend. He was married. He wasn't, like, looking for anything, just hanging out. And then he starts getting really obsessive about my friend, telling her how beautiful her teeth are, she's got the most beautiful nose he's ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was married. And finally, after about a half an hour of this, it started getting really creepy. I asked if he had a picture of his wife, and it was literally my friend's twin.
Mm-hmm.
So his wife looked exactly like my friend.
Possibly an older version of your friend.
Actually, no. She was pretty young.
He married a young woman. Yeah, I'm looking at your picture at adamcarolla.com right now. Spectacular. Ah. Bumblebee outfit. I remember it well. All right, Kay Marie, we have some clips from Thursday night's festivities at the Playboy Mansion. I think the first one is Big Tad throwing brusket in the swimming pool.
Adam, right. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. I'm drunk right now, let me ask you something.
All right.
Big Tad is soaking wet.
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
He's topless.
The Playboy Mansion.
He's soaking wet.
I want to get Bruska into the pool.
I see.
Now, I get Bruska in the pool.
I got to tell Adam when the show's over.
I don't care if you have to tell Adam when the show's over. Your ass is coming to the pool with me right now.
Wait a minute.
By the way,
oh, Big Tad.
Adam.
Oh, the humanity.
Suddenly it's just turned into a WWE event. Tad is literally dragging.
It's a steel cage match.
Oh, wow.
To the pool right now.
It's a steel cage match. Don't electrocute him. Don't electrocute him.
Brusket was dressed in a onesie. He had sweat all over him. He was dressed up as Damage X Baby. Tad looked, he had a crazed look in his eye. He was wearing his underpants at that point. Huge penis flopping over what was left of his penis. And just a naked, drunken Tad who would not take no for an answer. Yes, Prescott?
It's very strange, though, that Tad says, hey, we're at the Playboy Mansion. It's been my fantasy for a long time to get Brusca into the swimming pool.
Listen, what I was drunk. I was drunk.
That's your Playboy fantasy.
That's not my Playboy fantasy was actually getting into the pool and into the grotto, but I put two and two together, so back
well
off. Done.
Well, speaking of the pool, someone else on the staff here went into the pool. Let's hear how that went.
Teresa, come get naked in the grotto with Tad and Mike August. I think it'll be a great bonding experience.
Oh, it is a wet Ray.
Here comes a sopping wet Ray to share his love. Look, let me say this honestly. As it is, Teresa is going to see her therapist twice a week. Would you like to shoot for three times a week?
Because that's
twice a naked. This is a naked Ray tackling you. Yes.
Yes.
Big Tad is new. Big Tad. Whoa. There's now a fight going on.
No,
Big Tad is attempting to drag.
He's dragging on the water now, bro.
Color
Big
commentary.
Tad, please, Lord, you're drunk and disordered. We will tranquilize you. We will dart you, Big Tad, and return you to your natural habitat.
It's about to go down, Jimmy. It's about to go down, Jimmy. It's going down, Jimmy.
Ray's taking Teresa into the pool.
This is taking Teresa Strasser in
her hand. Take her
Ray.
Into the grotto.
And I was holding you above the water.
Yeah.
Take her into the grotto.
Yeah.
She will sue our asses.
I will not sue, but actually as a testament to how strong your friend Ray is, he actually took me right to the edge of the grotto, and then he put me down, and I jumped in.
Yeah, he was like King Kong in your Fay Ray. He was holding you above his head, naked, while he walked into the pool, water chest high, but never got the water onto you. Then set you on the coping, and you did what?
And then I jumped in, because I figured,
I like that.
When else am I going to be at the Playboy Mansion?
I like that. The clip we don't have that we need to find is a crazed, drunken, deaf frat guy screaming about his cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
That's Brusket. Let's go find that one. Maybe we'll hear it a little bit later, but that's the one I want to find.
He screamed so loud he almost hurt himself. The other big highlight of the time at the Playboy Mansion was, of course, the lovely Kim, who came in here. She's just the sister of one of the buffoons who came in here and got loaded in exchange for tickets to the Playboy Mansion. But she was such a vision that we ended up bringing her along. Mm-hmm. And then she met Hef, and we encouraged him to put her in the pages of Playboy. And he said, first step is we got to get pictures of her nude. So he reviews all these pictures on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, let's make haste. Ace, why don't you take these photos?
Well, Kim, I know you ran into Stephen Baldwin out in the hall and he tried to talk you out of it.
He did.
What did he tell you?
He just said that I should really reconsider and seek some counsel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. He's crazy.
Can you do it naked? Can you seek counsel naked while
possibly.
I photograph it? Hef, don't worry about this. That's Dr. Goldfarb. Don't worry about him. But focus on the nude form of Kim.
Kim, have you thought this through, posing nude?
I have. And I know that in doing it, there would be a lot of conflict, and I'd probably get a lot of static about it. But ultimately, I think it would be something I'd want to do.
And yeah, because people talk about ruining a career or whatever, but you're going to junior college, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything's a step up from there.
Sure. Who cares?
I think she can still have a career, and she wants to be a journalist.
Mm-hmm. You're saying she can get naked and have a career?
I'm saying even though she goes to junior college, she can still have a career. I don't know that posing naked is actually going to bring her closer.
What is with the Jew?
It's going to bring her closer to her goals.
But, you know, these
Party
days.
Pooper, be quiet.
These days, Playboy is not even considered pornography. I mean, if you got some Paris Hilton type tape floating around there, and even that, did that do anything to hurt
it
Paris
helped
Hilton's
her career?
But the pages of Playboy, that is considered barely racy these days.
That's right. Vanessa Williams, Madonna, they've done it. Their careers have worked out just fine.
Do they have beaver shots in there? I don't want that for Kim.
Yes, we see Madonna's downstairs
shots
in there.
I don't want to see that for Kim. Mm-mm.
Well, I do. Hang on, Kim. We need to take ourselves a little break. Do we have a camera?
Yes.
We have a camera.
Oh, we do?
And wow. I think you should take the pictures, Adam, next break.
It's going
to
be great.
And he will do it tastefully, I promise.
I think they should be tasteful photos, and since her start came on the radio, I think we should have, like, maybe she could put your headphones on it. Maybe we can get a shot of her sitting on your lap.
That's
she could
good.
Be strewn on the console, so on and so forth.
Perhaps we should do my favorite pose, which is pigtails and a giant lollipop.
Breska just mimed giving oral to the microphone.
Come on.
All right, we need to take a break. So, Kim, you'll hang with us.
Yeah.
We'll get to take some test photos with you.
Oh, we'll talk that.
Think it over.
Don't talk to Teresa, though. Talk to Breska. Talk to Breska during the break, and we'll be back after this.
Oh, man, I don't care.
She would love an opportunity to pose in your magazine.
Step back so Hefner can see you.
Yes, let Mr. Hefner drink you in.
Look very good.
She's certainly playmate material.
Absolutely. We have many options.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we met beautiful Kim last week when she came in with her drunken Marine brother. She knows an opportunity when she sees one. She'd like to get in the pages of Playboy. We'll talk to her about doing a little test shooting. I want to, again, just to recap a little bit from the Playboy Mansion show on Thursday last week. We have a few more drops, and then we have Kim's mom on the phone. We'll talk to her and see if she gives Kim the green light to test for Playboy. First, I think we have Kimmel in the grotto. This is the great Jimmy Kimmel with a remote microphone in the grotto.
The wheels have officially come off the wagon. Jimmy Kimmel has been dispatched to the grotto. Jimmy, you have a report for us?
I am in the grotto right now. There are a lot of naked people. Most of them are guys. We'll tell you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some naked people. There is a girl dry humping a man, and there is a man committing a sex act on a woman in fishnet stockings right now.
I'm
and
confused.
There's another young lady banging me in the nuts with a beach ball right now as well. So it's a good time here.
Well, tip her and let her move on, Jimmy. Now watch out, because a normally belligerent Big Tad is now drunken and belligerent.
He's upset that we didn't play veal or no veal.
Okay, guys, here's a break-in from the grotto. There's actual fornication happening.
Really? Right
now. Oh. Yes.
I come home from these things, and my wife always has a puss on. Oh, you're out there swinging, you know, out there having a good time. The reality to these shows, and it's why you don't see me getting so excited about them, is I, along with a handful of other people, actually have to work at these things. Everyone else gets loaded in F's in the grotto. It's ironic that the guy with the name on the show is probably having the least of the time there in terms of partying. But that's just the way it is. Unfortunately, sad. But my problem is then after a night of that, I come home and the wife's giving me the stink eye. Oh, what was going on in the grotto? Sound like you had quite a time over it. The reality is I'm sitting far away from the action, watching it from a distance, not making out almost anything. I can't get a good buzz going. Oh, I got a little buzz going, slurred a few words, but I can't get my buzz on. I can't enjoy myself.
And you left immediately after we were off the air. You were gone and went right home to your wife.
Yeah. Well,
I think
if you replace the word wife with TiVo, you're exactly right.
The way you just told that story, it was really believable. If I hadn't have been there, I mean, that's exactly the way you did it.
Sounded
Adam.
Good, huh? I want to hear Def Rat Guy freaking out, yelling about his cell phone because he was obliterated, loaded. He booted, as he said earlier, but claimed it's because he only ate breakfast. He hadn't eaten any dinner. But here's him screaming about his cell phone.
I understand. Def Rat Guy, yes.
Whoa. August, you idiot. You had my phone in your pocket when you were throwing in the guano. Dude, you owe me a lot of money, bro.
That is true. Mike August did throw his two cell phones to me, but one was after he was already in the water.
And I... One more. Well, that's not at all the one I wanted, but here's the one I wanted.
Good. Hey, where's my phone, you fat ass?
Let's hear that one more time.
Good. Hey, where's my phone, you fat ass?
He was dressed as Ben Franklin, too. It's always funny late at the end of the evening when people start coming undone at these Halloween parties. It's funny because you're dressed as Baby Huey or Ben Franklin or Dr. Phil, but you vomit all over yourself and you're getting into a fist fight with cops. You know, there's a surreal element. It's one thing to see a guy in a pair of 501s and a wife beater having it out with the cops or vomiting somewhere or, you know, or just getting beaten by the law or something. But it's weird when he's dressed as Elmo and there's vomit all over him and he's fist fighting with the cops on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I've never seen him that angry. I thought he got bummed out about his hearing. Who knew about the cell phone?
Hey, where's my phone, you fat F?
What is he saying, you?
Where's my phone, you fat F?
You fat F. Wow.
Yeah. What could he be talking about? Fat Tad.
Krista?
Oh, yes.
You're Kim's mother?
I am.
Well, nice work. You did a fantastic job on her.
Hey, thanks. She's pretty special.
Yeah, she certainly is. Okay. She says that she looks up to you, Krista.
You know, it's kind of mutual. We're both best friends, so I feel really lucky.
And she values your advice.
Yes.
Now, what do you think about her potential decision to try to get into Playboy?
You know what? I was just sitting here talking with a couple of girls I work with, and I'm fine with her buns.
Fine with her buns?
A picture of her little bottom or the side of her little boobie.
But not her front.
Absolutely zero cooter. Nothing. Not happening.
Zero cooter is the name of my high school yearbook.
No.
Zero cooter.
No, I mean, I don't have a problem.
And the mechanic over in the Dukes of Hazzard.
Ace, if I may speak for you, I think we can reach an agreement on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll sign off on the no cooch. Or cooter. No cooter, boobs,
right.
Maybe some backside.
Side
maybe?
Boob, backside.
I mean, I have no problem, you know, with just her little body. That's not a problem. But I'm telling you, I draw the line, boy, on that one.
Well, may I ask Kim a question? Kim, what is your career goal? Who would you want to be?
Bella Abzug.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. I look at Playboy, and it's one of the opportunities, I think, if presented itself. It's not something I would actively seek out, but if it, you know, came out of the blue, I would probably take it.
What this is opportunity landing in your cooter.
Well, precisely.
Nicely said.
And
Adam.
I look at, you know, people like Carmen Electra and Madonna, people who have done
all
Playboy,
the
and it hasn't hurt their careers.
Well, no. Madonna's photos were published after she was already a successful singer and dancer.
Whoa. Okay.
I have a question,
Lieutenant Buzzkill. Who heated up her mic?
I have a question for you, Adam.
Stick with the news, baby. What's going on in Iraq?
Can I remove Teresa from the studio, please?
Can I say I'm not pro or against? I'm not pro or against. I just would like Kim to think it through before she poses naked, which
this
she can't
is
undo.
One angry broad.
I'm not against it or for it. I just
Teresa,
want her to think it
this
through.
This is how you're going to wind up in the bitch bag.
Which I'm not doing.
Wow.
Ooh. I'm voting for her. I can tell you that right now.
I'm not saying she shouldn't do it. I'm just asking that she think it through first.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to the bitch bag, some guys vote with their heart, others with their penis. I think we know where Bruska's at right now.
He votes with his cooch.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
Well, Kim, I would love to take pictures of your bare backside. I'm not sure how we do this, but, Mom, you'd be all right with that?
You mean in the studio right now?
Yes.
No.
What?
Oh, no. See, now you're asking the mom. Of course I'm going to draw the line on that. It's like absolutely not close. Stay on in the studio.
Please try your call again later.
It half requires, half and the people at Playboy say the first step in this process. He's already seen the goods, but he wants to see what she looks like in some photographs. So we have to take these photos. It's out of our hands.
Yeah, who knows?
Kim is not gung-ho. If she were gung-ho, I'd say yes, but I feel like she has reservations. Maybe I'm wrong.
See, the only reservations I have is I want it to be done in a professional, tasteful way. I don't want it to be, you know, just
all right, well, let Big Tad take the pictures.
That's how I braised her. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
She's got good common sense, and she knows. There you go.
So you draw the line at the cooter, and you also draw the line at doing the photography inside the radio studio.
Yeah.
How about you put down that Sharpie and pick up a beer, old lady? Loosen up just a little bit, huh?
Goodbye.
Doing a lot of line drawing.
Oh, maybe this then.
Yeah. Maybe that's my role as a mom.
I understand.
Maybe what we should do is arrange, if we cannot get Kim to take the photographs now, perhaps we could get a professional photographer in here tomorrow to shoot these photos. Mm.
What about that, Mom? Professional photographer.
And who's going to be in there?
Well, it's just going to be me and the professional photographer.
Can we think that through?
If she eventually goes to Playboy, there's going to be 40 people in that room when they take pictures of her. So
That's right.
Is a test run. And honestly, with the show behind her, she has a much better chance of being on Playboy.
Right.
So I think she should take him in here because it increases her odds of being on Playboy.
Point is, I'm in the room no matter what.
That's right.
And by the way, the studio is completely covered. All the windows are covered. No one can see inside the studio about the people in the studio.
There are seven men in here and me.
All right. Mm-hmm. We will get a professional to come in here and set up a photo shoot. Well, it'll be all above the board. All right, Mom?
Well,
let me explain.
Kimberly, call me when you're done.
All right. Here's the deal. If you think about a studio, what is a photo studio? Well, it's any studio that a professional photographer uses to take photos. In this case, it'll be a radio studio. Thank you. The more you know.
Well, you negotiated for Mom negotiated for a professional photographer and no cooter. Mm-hmm. Is that the deal we've struck?
I think that sounds
fair,
yes.
I think that's fair.
Okay. And it needs to be in the studio, and here's why. Because the genesis of this whole thing was her coming on the radio show, so I think we need to tie in the radio elements, the microphone, the console, so on and so forth.
Well, yes? And also, here's the real reason. We want to see Kim naked. Let's be honest. And let me just explain show business. No free lunches in show biz. You want to be in Playboy, we get the photographer, we take the pictures, and then they don't go to the bottom of some sort of anonymous pile with all the hundreds of thousands. I mean, think about how many pictures Playboy gets from around the country and around the world every year. Do you think they're able to look at them? These are guys are like, it's like if there was one record company in town. Do you know how many tapes they would get from bands all over the country and all over the world? Do you think the boss is going to give it a listen to? You want your band listened to by the boss. We can assure that. We can't guarantee the boss is going to like what he hears. I assume he will. But we can guarantee that the right eyes get on your backside.
But not your cooter.
That's
well,
right.
No cooter. I think that sounds fair.
It
if it's
does.
Done professional, then I'm okay with it. No cooter shots and we're good.
Okay.
So we'll see you tomorrow.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Good.
I just wanted to, Kim's only 21, and I just wanted to make sure that she felt good about it. And if she does, that's better.
Bare bottom, who cares? All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
What's hooked up with one of the sales girls from 97.1 out here?
Interesting.
Hold on real quickly. Nathan?
Yeah.
You hooked up with one of the sales girls from Free FM out here?
She might have been a sales girl. Her name's Taryn.
Taryn. Yes, we know
her.
Beautiful Asian. Yes, you're Asian. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
You hooked up?
Yeah, why not?
What base did you get to? Why not?
I just made out with her for a little bit and got her number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More than Mike August got. She went on a date you were called. Mike August, the talent booker, Adam, you insisted he take Taryn out. She's a beautiful woman. And for surf, turf, and surf again.
Right.
But
the most expensive meal on the menu. That was at the Playboy Mansion, of course, Nathan is speaking of. All right, Nathan, thanks for kissing and telling.
All right.
No, classy.
Sure. Taryn, her boyfriend, and her children are very, very delighted you called into the show. Thank you. All right, we need to take a break. T, what is coming up in the news?
Well, Nicole Richie was in rehab, but this weekend she crawled out, and guess where she ended up? I'll tell you.
Oh, and I got a drop that we found from Courtney Cox from Entertainment Tonight that I am in love with regarding the aforementioned Nicole Richie. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. News and sports after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here are some celebrities who are not celebrating a birthday today. It's not Kelly Osbourne's birthday. No birthday cake for Weird Al Yankovic. And it's definitely not Henry Winkler's birthday. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
It is Henry Winkler's birthday, 61.
Oh, no.
I just feel like we always get those wrong.
It's a simple bit.
The bit was supposed to be celebrities that aren't celebrating their birthday. We've done it 8 or 9 times, and each time one of the celebrities was actually celebrating his birthday. What are the odds? Someone's going to get fired. Let's just push forward. But yeah. Heads will roll.
Frustrating.
It is Winkler's birthday, 61 years young today. Let's just push forward with the news. I'm in a bad mood now.
David Letterman and Bill O'Reilly have had sort of a long-standing feud. Friday night, Bill was back on Letterman's show, and here's how it went down.
It isn't we're a bad country, Bush is an evil liar.
I didn't say
That's
we were a bad country. I didn't say he was an evil liar.
Good.
You're putting words in my mouth, just the way you put artificial facts in your head.
All right.
Wow. Look.
You have it.
They need each other. I think they know what they're doing.
Well, Nicole Richie.
Yeah.
Checked into rehab last week, reportedly, to figure out just why she can't gain any weight. I don't know, maybe it's from not eating. I don't know.
It's from, as Def Frat Guy would say, booting.
Booting, not
meal.
Eating. I'm not an expert.
Is there any, as far as figuring out why you can't gain weight, is there any medical Is this the easiest medical answer there is? Do you have to be a doctor? I got a 5-month-old who could tell you why you're not gaining weight.
Calories in, calories out. That's
there
it.
There you go.
All right.
Pretty simple.
Well, last we heard, she was in rehab Sunday morning this weekend around 2 a.m. Nicole's friends were seen hauling her out of the back door of an L.A. club called Hyde. Supposedly, she was passed out, and they were going to take her to the hospital, but nobody knows if she's been admitted anywhere. We will keep you posted.
Well, I was watching Entertainment Tonight over the weekend, and they always have to get stars for their comments. Like, and again, I'm sure all celebrities, all legitimate celebrities, have had an assful of her and her eating disorder. They talked to Courtney Cox. Now, Courtney
yes.
Cox is probably thinking, I was in a long-running, very successful sitcom and have done plenty of features. I'm a big celebrity, yet my stories come at the end of Entertainment Tonight, and Nicole Richie, who's not done anything creatively ever, comes at the top. So she's probably an ass full of hearing about Nicole Richie. Here is her comment. It's very brief. Listen carefully. But when they ask Courtney Cox about Nicole Richie and her eating disorder, here's her comment.
A very thin Nicole Richie enters the treatment center in her battle to not be skinny. The startling pictures in tonight's breaking news. Nicole's rep says she has entered a treatment facility to find out why she's unable to gain weight. In this photo taken Tuesday, Nicole shows just how thin her shoulders and arms are. She was seen with former fiancé DJ AM leaving a Beverly Hills restaurant. Nicole's spokeswoman tells ET, quote, she is working with a team of doctors and specialists whose focus is nutrition. This is not a treatment for an eating disorder.
Hold on, stop it for 1 second.
Nicole has previously denied.
Do we have to hear this crazy techno bed under everything? I mean, I understand if we're talking about the rave scene. I understand if we're talking about partying all night or something. We're talking about someone's eating disorder. Do we have to have the house music pumping in the background? I mean, back it up if you can, just a few seconds. Just listen to that grind. It's become the soundtrack of our lives, and I hate it. And I don't know anyone else who likes it. Do you know a human being who isn't high as a kite or dumb as a stump who enjoys house or techno music? And it's one thing if you're out rolling and you're popping amyl poppers and you're high as a kite at some rave and you're trying to achieve an erection so that you can have sex with a stranger. But when you're just sitting around watching television at 7 in the evening, do you need to hear the driving techno music everywhere?
It's more for Mary Hart than it is for the viewer. She takes some ecstasy before each
show.
She's
rolling.
It's her ritual.
She's rolling.
Start sucking on that pacifier. All right, let's hear it. Sorry.
This former fiancé DJ AM leaving a Beverly Hills restaurant. Nicole's spokeswoman tells ET, quote, she is working with a team of doctors and specialists whose focus is nutrition. This is not a treatment for an eating disorder. Nicole has previously denied she's anorexic.
Courtney Cox
and stars
coming up.
Support for her decision to enter treatment.
Well, whatever she wants to do, good luck.
Stars voice support for a treatment.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever she wants to do, good luck.
Yeah, best of luck with that.
Yeah.
Well, by the way,
hope the bitch dies is basically what that was.
Exactly.
Why whatever are they calling she wants
it,
to do.
They're calling it skinny and she can't gain weight. It's called anorexia nervosa. It's
she
a
can't
disease.
Gain weight.
She's anorexic. It's very clear to everyone.
But you don't understand, man. She eats a pork chop and she craps a pork chop. She eats an orange and it comes out like an orange. We could just recycle it and eat it again. Food won't take, dude. If she eats a corn dog, it comes out. It looks like someone just put a corn dog in the toilet 4 hours later. It won't take. It's passing right through her, man. She's like a pinata, man. It's whole inside of her, man.
Let me tell you about
perhaps if we had some techno music underneath me, it would clear up this whole thing.
Yeah, it's techno is always what I want to hear when I'm a story with a woman who's pounds from death. It's nice to have some techno beating in the background.
Sure, livening
it up. Nicole Richie, as you called her earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teresa, what's going on over there in the Middle East?
Yeah, it looks like bloodiest day in Baghdad in a while.
Good stuff, T. Dave. What's coming up in the shorts? Yeah. All right, okay. Sorry, David.
Listen, this is going to cheer him, Dave. This is going to tear you up. And I know it's going to cheer up Adam, and I know you guys will probably have a date in the future because Dancing with the Stars is going on tour.
Oh.
Yes, you know, like the American Idol tour?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're going on a tour. It'll cover 38 cities starting December 19th in San Diego. You can buy your tickets on Sunday. You want to see Drew Lachey dancing, Joey Lawrence, Lisa Rinna, Harry Hamlin?
What is up with Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna? She's like, they're both like, so they're Middle Eastern now. They're so tan. They're everywhere. She's wearing T-shirts with him on it. I mean, is there something wrong with them or is there something wrong with me and my wife? Because,
both.
Because they seemed obsessed with each other. If I were him, I would have her put down.
Really?
Yes. She's obnoxious and she's everywhere and she's all tan and scary and she's wearing shirts with his face on it. It's sick. It seems like she's obsessed with her husband.
Yes. Well, I'll put you down for two tickets.
She's stalking her own husband, essentially.
Well, yeah. And she does have like a fifth layer of Mystic Tan too many on there. It's not right.
Yes.
And the lips are big. But
yes.
You know what? God bless her.
Yes.
And God bless their tour.
Yes. God
and
bless
I'll be
everyone.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Coming up in the next break, we're going to be reviewing our NFL picks and spinning the big wheel. I'm currently down $5,400 to multimillionaire Adam Carolla. But we've also added on the wheel today a very valuable trip to Scores. So call in now and you might win that handsome prize.
Get your name really put on that wheel. Yes, $10,000 potentially can be given away in the next spin of the wheel.
One game that we didn't predict was the Steelers and Raiders, and I wish we could go into further detail about what happened there, but I'm plumb out of time almost. But I will say, tough weekend for USC. Third-ranked SC went up to Corvallis and lost to Oregon State. That's right. The Beavers ripped the Trojans, proving once again the condoms are not 100% effective. Don't give me that look, Brian. I made a joke. It was there. Yes, it was a little hokey, but I would do it again. All right, listen. Little known fact from last Friday night. The St. Louis Cardinals beat the Detroit Tigers to win the World Series. Nobody watched it, apparently. To be honest, including me, apocalyptically awful ratings. Lots of people expected the Tigers to win, but to the delight of at least one major celebrity, the Cardinals prevailed. We heard from him last week. Here he is again, Las Vegas legend and Tiger attack victim, Siegfried's best pal, Roy Horn. He's got some strange ideas on how the Cardinals should celebrate.
It is my most sincere wish that the Cardinals do the Tigers what I did to Montecore on this best surf's cold. As I had a cold VC spa with the main ingredient of Montecore's penis.
I guess that wound still hasn't completely healed.
Dave Dunn. Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we will be spinning the wheel in just a moment, Emma. Emma, you've been on hold for an hour to tell me you flashed me at the Playboy Mansion?
Something like that. You started to say you were going to commemorate me. Once she meant to say compliment me on my natural full C's. No, I was definitely corrupted this weekend. I had to go to church.
Mm-hmm. And you don't just catch on fire spontaneously when you cross the threshold into a church?
I don't know. I didn't this time.
Are you dancing at Scores?
I am. I dance at Scores in Vegas. And we will be out in L.A. quite often. That's why we came out to see you, if you remember.
Well, we're going to send somebody out to Scores potentially. Because there's two slots, I believe there's two slots on the wheel for that we'll
trip.
Be spinning in just one moment. Again, we'll tell you who won the week in football picks, and then we'll spin the wheel. Since $5,000 was given away the last 3 weeks in a row, there's 12 slots on the wheel. Some of them are 50 cents, some of them are $100. There's one $5,000 slot. It landed on it 3 times in a row. We're going to spin it again when we come back, and there's also a slot that says double last week's. So that's where the potential of the $10,000 comes in. We'll tell you who won, and we'll spin the wheel next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla Show. Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. First at 7 on National Geographic Channel. Don't watch Animal Extractors. Wildlife control experts remove raccoons from an attic. Then at 8 on ESPN2. Be sure to miss Skate America. Men's figure skating and ice dancing finals. Finally at 9 on BET. Definitely don't watch Bones. When entrepreneurs try to open a disco in an abandoned brownstone, they unleash the ghost of a vengeful gangster. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it is time to figure out who won last week's football pool and then spin the wheel. Again, we pick, Dave and I pick against each other. My dog Molly's in there, Playboy's own, what the hell's her name?
Jessie Jane.
Yeah, she got loaded, passed out. We couldn't find her. We're near the Playboy Mansion. She'll pick along, too. My dog Molly's beating me, by the way.
Yes, Molly's purpose for being around is only to shame her owner.
That's, and she's doing a fine job.
Yes, she leads you in the overall, the season score by a couple, I believe, or by one. So you're now both, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
We both, I think, went 1-3. This week, and Dave Damashek went 2-2.
That's right. It came down to, as we could tell on at the Playboy Mansion, that it was all going to come down to a terrible matchup of two of the worst teams in the league, Arizona Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, and Green Bay spanked Arizona. So now that means Dave wins the week. Now, Dave is down to me $5,400, but I'm staring at that wheel, and it's got 50 cents on it, and it's got $100 on it, and it's got $500. And the Scores trip and reverse winner loser. That means I'll get to spin and you'll take whatever the wheel dishes out. $1,000, $50, $5, another Scores trip, and then double last week. And that's what frightens me, because as God is my witness, people, 3 weeks in a row, the last 3 weeks, it has landed on $5,000. Likelihood of that, I'm told by Brian, who does the sound effects, 1,728-1.
Can I say also, Ace, people come up to me and they say, that's a cute bit how you guys are spinning that wheel with the money. And I say, listen, that's real money we're talking about.
That's
Adam
right.
Carolla is really a multimillionaire, and my wife really is pregnant, and I really am currently into him for 5,400 simoleons. So if that comes up, reverse and give it to the other guy, and I'm into you for 10,800 at the end of this spinning wheel, I don't know what.
Well, all right.
I'm spinning it again. Last week I spun $5,000.
Let's put Greg on the phone. Greg?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, if it lands on that Scores trip and there's two slots in the wheel for that Scores trip, you're going to be going to Vegas on Scores Done. Now, Damashek, you insisted on spinning it last week and you lost $5,000. You want to do that again this week? How do you want to do that?
Listen. I lost last week. The Steelers lost to the terrible Raiders yesterday. I got to change the mojo somehow.
All right.
Okay.
Well, give it a spin, buddy. He is spinning the wheel. Give it a good spin.
Come on, baby.
And there it goes. We got the two score trips. $5,000. We have double last week.
No whammies.
It is starting to slow down. The 1,000 went by. The 5,000 went by. The double last week. The 250.
Oh, no. Not 5,000. Come on. No.
Week. That means that now Corolla owes Dave
$10,000 minus the $400.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever that adds up to.
46.
I can't do the math. My head's swimming altogether. With glee.
You understand that we thought it was going to stay in the $5,000 pie slot, but it barely made it out of the $5,000 pie slot, and it went into the 50-cent pie slot, which would have been hysterical because while it landed last week in $5,000, I would have just reached into my ashtray of one of my fine automobiles and paid Dave off for this week, which I still might be able to do with the $10,000. But then it just ever so barely pulled from the 50 cent, and it kept going as if the hand of Dave's Messiah was pushing it along and landed into double last week's money. That, of course, is the worst thing on the wheel for me because it, even though I won last week, Dave won this week. Last week was $5,000. That makes it $10,000.
Ah, the ghost of Pop Stargell and Jack Lambert, Mario Lemieux all came in to push it just past 50 cents and into double last week and me into the black.
All right, Greg, and you do not get to go into the pink because you'll not be heading to Vegas in the scores.
Hey, guys. All I got to say is this look out for the Dallas Cowboys. We've got Tony, the new.
All right, shut up.
It's not a sports
show. I'm in no mood. I'm down. Really. It's really, I knew sometime yesterday that I lost the week, and with the $5,000 from the week before and the $10,000 on the thing, my only thought was, do not land on double. That was my mantra. This is why I don't gamble. All I thought was, if it lands on $5,000, well, so be it, but at least Dave still owes me $400. Double last week, $10,000 right
there.
I like
that it all came down to the Arizona Cardinals and Green Bay Packers game, too.
And in the end, you now owe Dave $4,600
in total. Yes, you do, sir. Yes, you do.
Wow.
Pay up.
Wow. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. I should tell you kiddies quickly that Comic Relief at Caesar's Palace, which is benefiting the Hurricane Katrina victims, and features Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, and Billy Crystal. It's going to be on HBO Saturday, November 18th, 9 o'clock, and TBS. So a good cause and a good show. Again, HBO Saturday, the November 18th at 9 p.m. Or you can log on to comicrelief.com. We'll take ourselves a break. Yes, Prescott. Yes. Be the 10th caller right now?
Yes.
Right now?
Yes, right now.
This minute.
Be the why is it the 10th call? Why don't we just take the first call?
It's random.
All right.
Call.
We have 8 phone lines.
Not this number.
Oh, you call that phone number. Ah. 877-520-9797. Be the 10th on that phone, and you can get yourself some Comic Relief tickets and a prize pack and qualify for the Vegas trip and all sorts of stuff. 877-520-9797. We'll be right back after this.
Hi there, I'm Hugh Hefner, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
I gotta say, I am crestfallen.
Me too.
I knew...
Oh, no, I'm not. I forget. No, I'm excited.
I knew yesterday afternoon when I was devouring pizzas, homemade pizzas, by the way, over at Kimmel's house watching football, that at some point in the afternoon I realized I'd lost the week, and the only thought was, please do not land on double last week. That is $10,000. That's the only thing. There's nothing else on that wheel I would have a problem with. But it landed on double last week, and that means $10,000, everybody, to Dave Damashek.
Ace, can I say this? That, of course, I was banned from Kimmel's house yesterday because I disparaged his food.
Yeah, what were you doing
there? It was store-bought roast beef and chicken. I think in his heart of hearts, he would admit to you that he was resting on his laurels.
Mm-hmm. What about
they
the
were
ban?
Good. They were good. I showed up with a bag of chips and a six-pack of beer and a little handheld TV, and I watched the early games from outside. I watched them. I had a perfectly good party of my own to watch them football. But I did my penance, and I smelled that pizza cooking up in his brick oven, and I begged for his forgiveness.
Yeah, word must have got out it was pizza day over at Kimmel's, because usually there's 8 or 10 people there. There were 30 people at his house, and people were fighting for that
homemade
pizza.
And I would like a pat on the back from everyone who was there. Because I challenged him for resting on his laurels, he had to raise the stakes, and he made those pizza pies. Who was the winner? You were, Adam Carolla.
Thank you.
So was everyone else there.
Well, something I wanted to talk about that has nothing to do with football, but does have to do with my home, is my kids. I was playing with them over the weekend. You don't really play with them like you play with a dog, you know. You don't do anything with them. They just sit there. You play at them. You pick them up and throw them around and do stuff with them, give them to put their foot in their mouth and do that. And I was doing I was adding a little Sonny, little Santino, and I was looking at his feet. Kids' feet are great. Adult feet are horrible. You start getting corns and calluses. You get hair sprouting out of your big toe and weird nails and things that are ingrown and bunions and stuff. But a kid's foot, pristine. It's actually as thick as it is long, too. It's funny. It looks like a Fred Flintstone's foot and a little toesy sticking out. Foot goes south somewhere after puberty, but at the beginning, it is fantabulous. You know, it's weird. That's probably the one part on a human that really goes south. The other parts get better. Start developing breasts. You get your testicles. You get all those good primary sex parts. And even your face and everything keeps getting better to a certain point, but the feet... The feet's prime are when the kids are about 5 months old. And I was playing with these little Tootsies. And I was doing that thing. That's him
That's
going
him?
Nuts. Yeah. So I was doing this little piggy went to the market. And this little piggy went home. And this little piggy had roast beef. And this little piggy had none. And then this little piggy went wee, 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 all the way home. And I thought, wow, that's lame. That's weak. I mean, it's a solid 1.5 or 2 on the toe, on things you could do with a toe. It's not great, you know? And it doesn't even really track very well. This little piggy went to the market. All right, you're talking about his toes. The little piggy's kind of cute. This one went to the market. This little piggy went home. We don't know where they started.
Yeah.
Were they in the schoolyard? Were they at church or at the town square? But this one went to the market, and then this one went home. And now it really starts to lose a little momentum when you get to the third toe. This little piggy had roast beef. Unclear if it was the same little piggy who got it from the market. Confusing. This little piggy had roast beef, and this little piggy, he had none. Really? That's what you came up with? You couldn't come up with something else that that little piggy had eaten? And it's weird when you're saying piggy and roast beef, because it's like pork and he's eating.
It's almost cannibalistic.
Yeah, but this little piggy had none, and this one went wee, 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 all the way home, and then the first little piggy went to the market, and the second little piggy already went home. You can't come up with something for the fourth piggy to eat, and you can't figure out another destination for either the first little piggy or the, I should say, the second little piggy or the last little piggy. They both went home. It is horrible. It's the only thing we have for kids' toes. It's universal.
Yeah, kids love
it. I remember it as a kid.
Me
I'm
too.
Sure our parents did it and their parents before them. And it's probably international as well. And I just thought, how did this ever catch on? Because one guy did this. There was a first guy to do this little piggy. It's not like a group of people got together and did it over the internet. One guy, probably 250 years ago, did it to his kid's foot. And then he told it to somebody. And that guy, instead of going, idea sucks. That is a horrible idea. No, I shan't be doing that with my child. I'm not going to perpetrate this mediocre little piggy game you're playing with your kids' toes. Somehow that guy thought it was a good idea, and he did it, and he did it, and he did it. And here's my question. Whether it's bad music, bad art, bad TV shows, or bad anything, how does bad catch on? This little piggy had roast beef. This one had none. Then this one, he went back where the first little piggy went. He went all the way home. Somebody heard this and went, this is a fantabulous idea. I've heard no better ideas to do with kids' toes. And they have a monopoly on the kids' toes thing.
Well, can you rewrite it? I mean, the kids love when you play with their toes, and they love when you tickle them. Mm-hmm. It's just the lyrics, if you will.
I think if we replace the first little pig, the second little piggy going home, first piggy going to the market's
fine.
Second one shouldn't go to the place that the big toe went.
Right.
He should go to a whorehouse or something.
Okay.
Hey, a gym.
Right.
Maybe went to an arena football game.
Happy hour.
Happy hour. At the Red Lobster.
And then they, instead of roast beef.
Well, he can have roast beef, but then the next one is the kid had none. The little piggy had none. I say we give him like an ambrosia salad
there.
Or some schnitzel or, you know, sushi or something. He needs something to eat, and then the last one can go all the way home. There's no problem with that.
I have already.
No quarrel with that piggy. I've said it many times.
But the kids, the babies do love it, don't they?
They do love it, but as soon as they learn the language, they have to realize just how pathetic it is because this one ate roast beef and this one. And I'm just saying, it's a horrible idea. How long ago did it start? Who started it? And how did it ever catch on? We need to take a break. I need you to think about that. Brusket, go tell producer Angie to find the origins of where the little piggies and the toes came from. We'll take a quick break, and we'll report back to you after this.
Hey, this is Norm McDonald. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Please do not call. He doesn't care for that sort of thing.
We spoke for the last 5 minutes during the commercial about how lame the piggy toe thing was. Dave stood up. He was animated. His arms were flying around. I was angry as well. I think it started in 18-something-something or 17-something-something.
1728. I'm trying to find the origins of how it all started, but I haven't found it.
This is amazing. I'm just curious how horrible ideas spread out like wildfire throughout the land. I'm running late. Need to take a little extendo break, but I'm not done with this topic. Not by a long shot. I want to thank Stephen Baldwin and whoever else was in here today. Sean Wayne's tomorrow. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.